It's time for Benedictine Raven Football, heard on your local sports authority, KAIR, Radio 93.7 FM, and streaming on msconews.net. Benedictine Raven Football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management. Contact Hamada Wealth Management at 928-443-7536. Stay tuned. The Amberwell Health pregame will begin with the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show featuring head coach Joel Osborne right after these messages.
Union State Bank, founded in 1901, would like to take a moment to say thank you to everyone across the communities we serve. Hi, this is Kyle at Bank of Atchison, here to say that the work you do and the dedication you show to your local community continues to inspire our teams at all our branch locations. We are proud of our long history of being honest, reliable, and of remaining connected to the families and businesses we serve. As it was in the beginning, our customers are like family, and it is a privilege to work alongside them. Learn more about why we say we are rich in community at mybankusb.com. Member FDIC.
Raven football coming up on Care Radio. Coach Osborne with us. Coach, exciting game in front of a fantastic homecoming crowd, and congratulations for to the Ravens on what was a big win.
Yeah, it was a great win for our program. We had a great crowd, like you said. Just really pleased with their how loud they were, the environment we had here last Saturday against Baker, and just a really good win for our program. Our kids battled. We didn't play our best, but when we needed to play really well, our defense got a stop there at the end, forced a field goal. Offense took it down 79 yards, and you know, on the season they hadn't given up many of those drives, and we took it right to them, and then defense got another stop at the middle of the field there on fourth down. Great stop, Dwayne Lacy, with some big plays. And then we put the game away with the throw from Kettle to Gathright, and kind of iced the game for us.
Jumped out to that big lead early, and I think the fans are settling in saying, oh, this is going to be a one-sided game, and it was not that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, credit to Baker's program and their kids and their coaches. They're number one, they're going to compete, and you know, offensively, what they do is they're going to move the ball 3-4 yards at a time, and they took a lot of time off the clock and kind of got us out of rhythm on offense, and credit to those guys, and we got to learn from that for next year for sure. But it took us a bit to get back in rhythm, and it was almost too late, but it wasn't, you know. So really, really pleased with how we responded, and obviously, you know, we would have liked to have played better at times there in the second, third quarter, but I thought our defense was phenomenal. You know, we held them to 2 scores in the red zone. They were 2 for 6, which is a big deal. And, you know, we, on the other side, we capitalized. We were 2 for 2 for touchdowns in the red zone. So that was probably the difference in the game.
You talked about the defense. I thought, especially up front, they were fantastic.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, especially when we needed plays, there was a couple times where we had turnovers and there was a sudden change, and our guys really responded well. And I got in the backfield, I think, like Isaac Anderson, Tyler Wilson, Heath Baker, Dwayne Lacy. Those guys all made plays and really put a lot of pressure on Baker's offense.
On your offensive side, Jacob with another great game, another long touchdown reception. Yeah. He tricked that guy and was open downfield. I mean, he's fun to watch.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, we found a few ways to get him deep. We had to move him around from his normal position to do that, but you know, he answered the bell there with that big touchdown at the end of the first quarter. And then, you know, when we needed a play in the third quarter, or excuse me, the fourth quarter, we got him down the sideline in a one-on-one matchup, and Garrett got him on a back shoulder fade, and that really got us in position to score there in the fourth quarter. And then the last drive, 3rd and 10, you know, in my head it was either run the ball with Garrett or throw it to Jacob, and they sold out and went brought pressure and went cover zero, and we protected it, and we had Jacob one-on-one with their safety, and Garrett threw a great ball, and Jacob went right by him and made the play to finish the game. So that was a huge key.
Let's talk about a play. This has got nothing to do with necessarily this game, the fade pass. I am a huge proponent because executed well, it's undefensible. Yeah. But it's not an easy play. I mean, that's a tough pass to make and then to catch back in the corner.
Yeah, it takes a lot of timing and rhythm. So, you know, for us, it's a read route. So if you're getting off coverage, it turns into a 5-yard hitch. If you're getting press man, it turns into a go ball. And depending on the type of coverage you get, if your receiver wins at the line of scrimmage, the ball should be thrown over the top. If the receiver does not win and you go there, you're going to stay there, and all of a sudden now you got to throw a back shoulder. So it takes a lot of timing and rhythm. It takes a lot of reps to develop that timing and chemistry with the quarterback and receiver. And so that's just a credit to Garrett and Jacob for being on the same page. We were able to convince Jacob to stay last summer to work out in the month of June with our guys. And that work they put in during that month of June was a big deal.
It seems like it takes a quick read by both guys, too, to know what they're up against and what the options are going to be for them.
Yeah, for sure. And that's where Coach Hauser does a great job with his guys of understanding coverage and, you know, what depth the corner's at, what's his intentions. And so, you know, it does. It takes a lot of work.
Penalties have been a problem. Cut them way down last week. That was nice to see you only five.
Yeah, that was a big deal. You know, and the thing we have to do, we have to cut those down. And probably most importantly right now, we've got to start winning the turnover battle because we've been overcoming that. But that's going to be a lot more difficult to overcome the further we play if we're fortunate enough to keep winning.
Well, with that in mind, you've got Evangel coming in here today. I can't believe it's week 10. It's senior day. And what a matchup with the two teams tied at the top of the conference.
Yeah, they're coming in 3-0. They're on a four-game winning streak, having a really good season and a good program built on fundamentals and toughness. The defense is only giving up 16 points a game. Offensively, they're doing enough to win games, and we're going to have our hands full. But I'm excited, really more so excited because we got senior day. We're honoring 25 senior football players, 3 senior student coaches, and then 3 senior student managers, and so 31 in total. And great day for our program. They've given a lot to our program over the years. In the last 5 years, their record is 44-12. One conference championship in 2018, one national playoff appearance, one national runner-up. So, you know, we've got a chance today to add at least a share of the conference to our resume for this fall. And if we can win that, that'd be great. And then kind of go from there. But, there's a lot left to be done with this season still. But the legacy they're leaving right now is a big deal. And the standard the standard they have set for the younger kids is a big deal as well. The stuff you don't see on the field that you see in the weight room, you see in the meeting rooms, you see on the practice field, you know, in the community, in the classroom, you know, on campus. That's probably where their biggest impact is going to be felt because all our young guys that are playing right now and that are redshirting, they see that on a daily basis, the leadership from this group. So I'm really, really proud of them and what they've given to our program.
Evangel comes in. You talk about tied with you at the top of the conference right now. You went down to Nixa and played them last year and came away with the win. But this is a better Evangel team. Why are they better? What's better about them this year?
I think they have a lot better quarterback play, first off. I thought last year, we were able to really get to their quarterback and rattle. And I don't know if that'll be the case this year. And then defensively, they're much better. They're faster, more physical. You can tell they're a lot more sound in their coverages. So they just improved a lot. You know, just like we did over the course of the year, they've developed their kids, and you can see that on film.
They also had last week's two conference players of the week, the defensive and special teams guys.
Yeah, punter's the real deal. He's got a good leg, has a great average. You know, part of that is guys need to catch the ball that are returning the punts and not let it bounce and roll. So that's going to be a big emphasis for us this week is catch the ball. And then the second guy I think their linebacker 20 tackles. So, you know, he's flying around making plays. And they're a good team.
Now, you talk about the punter and whether you got to catch the ball or return the ball. Good punters are going to see a guy down there they don't want to see returning. There are a lot of things they could do to maybe not let him field that thing in a returnable state.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And the one thing that, you know, we've got to do is have our guys in position. You know, Coach Merfield does a great job. You know, he has a spray chart of where they're punting the ball. So we have a good idea of, based on what hash they're at, where the ball's going to go. So if you can just get it caught, that's really like getting a first down for the offense.
For the Ravens to win today, what do you want to happen?
We got to win the turnover battle. Yep.
Keep your hands on the ball.
Exactly right. Yep. Keep our hands on the ball. Run good routes. Great protection. Look the ball into the tuck. You know, defensively, we got to get some turnovers. Really challenge our defense. If we can get a defensive score again like we did at the beginning of the season, that'd be a big deal. So, I think on special teams, the biggest issue has been on punt block, you know, roughing, and then, you know, just giving the ball back to them, you know, that's like a turnover in itself. So We've got to do a better job there, and we have. We've really coached that well the last 2 weeks, so look to be those issues to be fixed.
Coach, we're excited for this senior day today. Best of luck against Evangel.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tom.
You've been listening to the Bank of Atchison Coaches Show on your home for Benedictine Raven football, Care Radio 93.7 FM. The Amberwell Health pregame continues with the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game right after this. The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take Five, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
As we get set for kickoff this afternoon of Raven football, it's now time for your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. And let's look at a couple of them. The Ravens need to be able to throw the ball against Evangel. Evangel's the second, or gives up the second most passing yards a game in the conference. So Benedictine should be able to throw the ball against this Evangel defense. The other thing is hold on to the ball. Evangel doesn't do a lot of things well, but what they do is they take away the football, and when they do, they're able to capitalize on them. This season, 13 touchdowns of their 18 red zone appearances. So keep the ball away from Evangel. Throw the ball against this team. You should be able to come away with a big victory today and move to 4-0 in divisional play. Those are your Dairy Queen Grill and Chill keys to the game. Kickoff coming up here next.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Queen Grill and Chill Keys to the Game and the Amberwell Health Pregame Show. We will go live to Tom and Gus Counts at the stadium for play-by-play coverage and in-game analysis of Benedictine football in just a few moments. Colon cancer rates among people under 50 are on the rise. In fact, 45 is the new recommended age for colon cancer screening. In its early stages, colon cancer often has no signs or symptoms. It's not painful, you can't see it, and most people don't notice they have it. A screening colonoscopy is the best, most reliable way to prevent and detect colon cancer. General Surgeon Dr. Roderick Warren at Amberwell Atchison is an expert at performing colonoscopies. During the procedure, he can both find and remove precancerous and cancerous polyps. Dr. Warren's office can often get you in for a colonoscopy in a matter of weeks. So don't delay. To schedule a colonoscopy with Dr. Warren, call 913-367-6682. Again, that number, 913-367-6682.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill, and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
This is KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, powered by MSC Radio and found online at mscnews.net. Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
It's time for Benedictine Raven football. Four quarters of hard-hitting, action-packed, high-flying intensity. Our coverage of Raven football is brought to you by our proud Raven sports boosters.
Welcome to Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful campus of Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas, where this afternoon it is senior day for the Ravens. They play host to the Evangel University Valor. Hello again, everybody. Joseph, our producer and engineer back in the Terra Sports studio. Gus Counts to my left, who's thrilled and amazed that I actually remember the new mascot. Tom Counts with you here. Izzy's over to the right. She's watching all of us. Gus, great day, senior day. And first of all, there were people I talked to this morning who were looking for Mount Ararat after last night because it rained, and it rained a lot. Anywhere in this vicinity from about 2.5 to about 4.5 inches of rain here in Atchison, about 3.
Yeah, and if you look out the north end zone, I mean, that's
my name is pretty cool.
I'll be a referee.
So, or
Charles will be
our officials are out there with the team captains right now trying to get things figured out. And you talk about Evandro coming into today's game. They find themselves 6-2. They are 3-0 in the South Division. The two losses for Evandro, one of them not bad against Grandview. The other one was against Graceland. And Graceland's one of those teams that I kind of parallel to Benedictine when it comes to offenses. They're teams that can really sit back and pick you apart, you know, with throwing the football. For Evandro, I walked into the press box today. I said, ask me what Evandro does good. And my answer, nothing, right? Like, they do a lot of things okay. They're just not great at anything. They will take the football away from you, and they're pretty good.
Evangel has won the toss. We'll defer. Benedictine will receive.
I think BC's probably okay with that, putting their offense out on the football field first to start this game. But for Evangel, they're one of those teams that can take the football away. They've got 15 interceptions already this season, 7 fumble recoveries. Anthony Leviraphon is that safety. He's got an interception for a touchdown, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, 44 tackles, and 5 interceptions on the season. So he's one of those guys that, you know, as an offense, if you're Garrett Kettle, you got to kind of figure out where he is pre-snap. They've also got cornerback Tyler White, number 5. He's got 4 picks coming into today's game, too.
As I shared a little bit this morning, as I was a little on the social media to promote the game, both of these teams are at 3-0 in the South Division. The winner of this game is going to be the conference champion, and the Valor riding a 4-game winning streak coming into the game right now, but Benedictine on a 7-game streak since we had that heartbreaker in Des Moines.
Because what? Really the only way that so an Evandro loss today and a Benedictine loss next week with an Evandro win, you could have a 3-way tie, but let's just not even think about that, right?
I would really rather not. Benedictine is going to have Austin Buteau and also Jay Sean Todd back for the return as we're set to go. Evangel advances on the ball and a kick away. It is end over end, into the wind. It's going to be rather short. Buteau will take it to the 18-yard line, come all the way across the field, looking for a block. Now he's chased and hit from behind it. He slowed down and looking for some room. It never developed, and he'll have it at the 23-yard line. Raven football, 1st and 10.
Good kick coverage right there by Evandro, getting down the field, staying in their lanes, not chasing the football. Just really didn't give anywhere for Austin Buteau to cut that ball up.
Benedictine coming out over the ball, and they've got senior quarterback Garrett Kettle, a 6'4", 210-pounder out of Altaloma, California. Last week, a nice game. 12 of 24, 206 with 1 touchdown. 1st and 10 at their own 23-yard line. Raven offense, quarterback back to throw, batted away, and that thing should have been pick-sixed. And Garrett threw it squarely into the elbows of the onrushing defender. That is Carell Orchard. Benedictine is so lucky.
Yeah, and I have a real problem with that play, and I'm not really sure the overall how you prepped for this week. Rayshon Mills pointed out the hot guy over there, 15, and then just let him come off the corner. So I don't know if it was a bad read by Garrett not to get rid of the football quickly, or it was a bad play right there by Rayshon not able to get over there. The Ravens just lucky they didn't throw a pick on the first play.
Second down, they will hand this one to Rayshon. He will dance for 3 to the 25-yard line, and Benedictine, right out of the gate, finds themselves looking at a 3rd and long.
That time coming up, you have K.K. Moe on the stop.
Valor defense is good. In fact, it is one of the top defenses in the conference. They give up 16.8 points a game. They've also got 15 interceptions. Tied with Benedictine for 2nd in the conference, taking the ball away with interceptions. 3rd down, 7, Benedictine at their own 26-yard line. Back to throw, Kettle, looking over the middle, has a man open and missed him. It's incomplete at the 35-yard line of the Ravens. Gus did not look very clean on that first possession.
Yeah, that time he was looking for Jayshon Todd on a little bit of a comeback route, but the problem was he led him back into the middle of the field rather than putting that ball right on Jayshon. It'll be a three and out, and Benedictine set to punt the ball away. It'll be Colin Bruner.
Colin will stand at his own. Well, we're going to call this about the 12-yard line. And Evangel will come out of this with pretty good field position as he is going to be punting into the wind. Looks like they're coming after him, too. Here they come. The rush is on. The boot is away. That's a nice enough kick into the wind. It'll be allowed to bounce to take a big BC bounce inside the 40 and down to the 36 or so yard line. So for the Valor, it's going to be first and 10. And again, they're going to have great field position. First and 10 at their own. We'll see where they are. They going to spot this? Yeah, on the 36-yard line.
Man.
Just underway in a ball game. That first Raven possession, Gus, disappointing in a lot of ways, and one of them for me always is that not taking any time off the clock. 1 minute is what that took. We got 14 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Evangel already has the ball. Quarterback back, seven-step drop, looks right, throws one downfield, and it's going to be caught and taken away. Ravens are going to intercept at 40, 50, 40, left side 35, 30. Down they go to the 25-yard line. That pass was thrown by the quarterback. It was caught by the receiver, and then it was just ripped away by Joel Mavis. That is his fourth interception this season.
Yeah, that time the receiver did a great job. He went, came back to the football, was able to make the interception, then Joel just reaches in, steals it away. His fourth interception, and Benedictine with great field position.
Ravens need to take advantage of this early, early opportunity. We're still at 13:48. That possession took 12 seconds in one play. Garrett Kettle is going to have Rayshon Mills in the backfield with him. Trips to the right side, the wide side. And they'll hand off Rayshon. He's got room, but closes quickly. He'll get to the 20-yard line, picking up four on a little sweep to the left side by the Ravens senior from Gilroy, California. Ian Airy out of West Plains, Missouri, with the tackle. BC will shuttle in and out. A handful of players, and Gus, they are going to take out both Jayshon Todd and Jacob Gathright on this second down seven call.
You're going to go with LeBron over here, and you're going to have a tight end as Reed Levi.
Second down seven, Benedictine at the 21. Now Garrett looks like he's checking off, takes a snap, looks right, throws right, man's wide open. It's going to be caught at the 16-yard line and an immediate tackle on Buteau. And again, Gus, that pass to a wide-open Austin Buteau was thrown in a situation and in a location which did not allow him to catch in advance.
Yeah, and that's kind of been the thing that the Ravens have struggled with a little bit is the catch after the run this year. We've had a lot of plays where they've had to come back, make the reception, get tackled as soon as they catch it. Now, Benedictine looking at a third and two right here.
Jackson and Perrott come out of the ball game and back in Gathright and Todd. Third down and a couple just outside the 15-yard line. Benedictine deep in Valor territory in his early possession of the game. And there's going to be a little pitch to the outside. Rayshon will get to the edge but does not get the first down. Gus, here's the deal. As Lavera Fawn makes the stop, he is one of the great defenders in this conference. But Benedictine running Rayshon to the outside, okay? We talked about this for now 10 weeks. Rayshon's a really fine runner, outstanding guy. He is not the speed guy to get to the edge.
If you're going to run that play, you might as well do it with Overstreet.
Yes. I've got three, four guys out there I'd rather see run to the outside and let Rayshon take it between the tackles. But the Ravens are going to go for it on fourth down. Here's a pitch. They'll go straight ahead, and, man, I'm not sure they did it again. Benedictine trying to get to the outside, and this defense is too good for that. Ravens lose down fourth down. Bradley Myers. And again, it's going to be Lavera Fawn with the tackle.
Prior to the game, I was talking to you about Anthon Lavera Fawn, right? And I told you coming in, he's the guy that is probably going to be, you know, an All-American. He's going to be an All-Conference guy. You're starting to see it in this first possession right there. He made two huge stops. Benedictine on third and two. Benedictine on fourth and one. That's a strong safety coming up making plays in the backfield.
And so the Raven offense, two possessions, and they've been, frankly, toothless here early in the game. With 11:42 to go in the opening quarter, we're scoreless in Atchison, and the Ravens turning it over on downs. It'll be first and 10 at the 16. Evangel on their own end of the field. Quarterback brings a man in motion, will keep it himself, duck into the left side, get to the edge of the 20, to the 25, and runs out of bounds finally. I don't think anybody put a hand on him, and he just didn't want to absorb that contact. And the quarterback, R.J. Wakely, last week, 9 rushes, 51 yards. He is not a bit bashful about carrying the ball.
Yeah, he's a guy that you have to respect as a ball carrier, right? Last week, Evangel only had 7 guys catch the ball, 4 guys run the ball.
Tommy Blomquist will get credit for that tackle. He was the closest defender when he went out of bounds. 1st and 10. QB's back, looking right, sets up the screen, and wisely just dumps it into the ground. Right now, I'm impressed with R.J. Wakely.
Now, R.J. Wakely is a smart quarterback. He's taking care of the football. He's running the offense, and that's probably what Evangel does well, right? Like, take care of the football. Just don't really try to go above and beyond. Just do what you're able to do. And really, that first interception was probably more on the receiver than it was on quarterback R.J. Wakely.
2nd and 10 at their 27-yard line. The handoff will go to the running back. He starts right, cuts back into the middle, is going to be hit and spun down. Boy, how about Heath Baker? He made a very solid, and this is what I like. I like a fundamentally sound, textbook kind of a tackle where you wrap the guy up, and he picks up a yard, yard and a half.
So now it's going to bring up a 3rd and 8 for Evangel. And again, they're one of those teams that can hit the big play if they need to, but they're not a team to play behind the sticks.
They're going to bring in a guy who normally is a tight end, but Andrew Holden is going to split wide out to the left side, giving them 4 receivers on this 3rd down and long call. Wakely's back to throw with time, kicks it to the near side as his receiver, Dylan Hester, coming back for the ball, but the pass was thrown a little bit too short. Hester well covered by Joel Mavis.
Yeah. So we've kind of talked about this over the last couple weeks. The teams have been picking on Jackson Hoskins in the sense of they're throwing his direction. Well, today they're saying, well, Jackson's been solid the last 2 weeks. Let's try Joel and see if he's still so solid. Well, he's having a good start to this game as well.
Ready the football. It'll be Ryan Connor. He's a conference player of the week from last week against Mid-America. He advances and kicks this one into the wind. They lost it in the sun. And the Ravens are going to just let this thing bounce. It takes a Fowler bounce inside the 30. Down to the 29-yard line, and Gus for Benedictine. Jay Sean looked up, and all of a sudden, he just starts backing away. You could tell he absolutely lost that in the light.
Yeah, I'm wondering if, because you saw the reflection off the visor, I'm kind of wondering if the visor didn't throw him a little bit, too. So, for Benedictine, they're going to send their offense out for the 3rd time today, looking to try to get something good to happen. They've got a 3-and-out. They had a turnover on downs on their last possession, and looking to get some points on the board here.
Can you believe 3 possessions, 4.5 minutes into the game? And QB back to throw again. Ravens are determined to try to throw the ball. Garrett rolls out, comes up the field, and will step out of bounds around the 35-yard line, picking up about a half a dozen. Again, looking downfield, but the coverage was quite outstanding. Joey Sylvester gets credit for the tackle because the big play on that was the coverage downfield by Nate Swafford as he had Jacob Gathright. Gathright was your primary.
Yeah, so now they're going to send Gathright and Todd to the left. They'll also have Buteau. So they're going to go trips to the left and then tuck Reed Levi on the right side.
They'll stay stepping out of bounds at the 34-yard line. It was a gain of 5 for Benedictine. They're going to swing Wigan over to the right side, and now Kettle will keep it himself, run forward, pick up a 1st down at the 40-yard line. And we may see, because we saw this in the high school game last night, we're seeing it more and more as Zach Myers makes the tackle, running quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of been the Garrett Kettle game, right? Last week he had 11 rushes for, 52 yards and a rushing touchdown. LeBron will come back in for this 1st down call.
You look at, professional football, so many running quarterbacks, threat quarterbacks to carry the ball. Here's a straight-ahead run, picking up about 4 to the 44-yard line. And Benedictine keeping it on the ground with Derek Overstreet this time. I find this interesting. You talk about Athene LeVerifon, okay? His high school teammate, Derek Overstreet.
Out of a walk, though, yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
How about that? 2nd down, 7 for Benedictine. Motion to the left side for the Ravens. Overstreet will go all the way wide out, standing on the numbers on the left side. Kettle's back, has to go a little sidearm, juggle, and he should have just dropped that ball. It's going to be called incomplete. A poor pass and a bad decision to try to make the catch.
That time, Bradley Myers, the leading tackler for the Valor defense, comes up, makes a big hit on the receiver. As soon as he caught the ball, it's going to fall incomplete. It'll bring up now a 3rd and 7, just under 9 minutes to play here in the first quarter.
Benedictine on Senior Day. It, again, had been raining for the last couple of days. When it moved out about 10:30 this morning, it is crystal clear. The barometric pressure is rising. You can tell. Look at this. It is a gorgeous day. A little cool but beautiful. Pass over the middle. Should have been and was picked off. No.
He catches it. Yeah, he did.
What
about
on earth?
Buteau. Two guys dive in front of him, and I thought it was picked like
oh,
you.
Yeah.
And then somehow Buteau ends up with the football behind him and picks up the first down.
I bet one of them tipped it into him. I'm serious. I mean, that was a high-risk pass for the Ravens. Will somehow keep the drive alive. They move the ball now down to the Valor 43-yard line. BC 1st and 10. Garrett Kittle running back to his right side. Double wings almost with this offense. Now they'll come motion, run the little jet sweep. Trying to cut in the middle is going to be Jayshon. Gets zero. Jayshon Todd trying to cut back up in, but he is going to be hit and tackled, being spun down by Dwayne Reed, the sophomore defensive lineman. Another kid out of Owosso, Oklahoma.
Okay, that's a good question.
What's that?
What is Where? A Valor?
It's a horse.
It is not the old mascot is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's basically, we needed something, that's what we decided on.
2nd down 10, Garrett wants to throw, can't, will run instead and take it to the 40-yard line, getting 3 yards and taking a little punishment in the process. Brody Patterson over there with the tackle on the play. I see Scott Jett in there. Now, guys, you see, you'll date me here, and I do this on purpose just to give you a little free ammunition, but you talk about running quarterbacks, and we're talking about running quarterbacks. But this is a new phenomenon. In the day, you know, the Lynn Dawsons and the Namaths and, you know, with the exception maybe of Fran Tarkenton, quarterbacks were instructed, don't run the ball. We don't want you hurt. You're too valuable to the team to take that beating. We got running backs for that. We got fullbacks. Well, I guess not everybody does now. Here's a pass left side, tipped and picked and dropped. And Garrett has put the ball into the hands of a defender 3 times so far this game.
Yeah, and that's Tyler White, and he's got a nose for taking the football away from defenses. 4 interceptions coming into the game. He's only a sophomore out of Carl Junction, Missouri, and Benedictine is going to put their punt unit out on the field. And Cullen Bruner looking to pin one more inside the 20 right here.
He's already had, according to your notes, well, how about that, 14 punts that he's knocked out inside the 20-yard line. The line of scrimmage here is the 40.
LaVerifon is going to settle in around his own 10.
He'll be a return man. Long count. Snapback. They're not coming after it this time. They're setting up a return. High kick. Will bounce at the 20. Go to the 15. Slow Raven bounce to the 11. That was a really good kick. Not inside the 10, but that was a really, really good punch by Cullen Bruner. He's been one of the very, very bright spots, among a lot of bright spots for Benedictine this season.
So for Cullen Bruner, he's going to have 2 punts in the first 3 possessions for Evangel. They've got a interception on the very first play of the game and a punt today. So neither offense really getting much going here in the first quarter. 6:50 remaining in the first.
Here comes the Crusader. Crusader, I did it already. That didn't take long. Here comes the Valor offense. 1st and 10, running back will sweep into the right side, cross the 10, get to the line of scrimmage, but not quite making the 15-yard line. So it's about a 3-yard gain as Zach Gill quickly over there. Bryce Neumaya with the carry. 6.5 to go. See, even when I get off the net, Wi-Fi? Oh, see, I got to get rid of the Wi-Fi because it will not allow us anything. Here we go. Quarterback's back on a 2nd down. Crossing pattern. Is it caught or is it dropped? They're going to say he caught it. Diving and picking it up at the ankles. Catch is made at the 21-yard line. He is going to be close. Are they going to give it to him? 1st down.
Yeah, that time Blue Kaplinger was in coverage for the Ravens. But a nice job by the receiver to cut just right in front of Blue, make the reception right at the sticks, able to move the chains. Just under 6 minutes to play here in the first quarter. We're still scoreless.
Back up with it with a single man behind him. It's going to be quarterback Wakely. He will turn, handoff, running back, hit in the backfield. How about Isaac, huh?
Yeah, Isaac Anderson doing a great job getting back there quickly, being able to hit the running back for a loss on the play. It will bring up now second and 12.
Yeah, Raven defensive front has been so good all season. Keith Baker, Isaac Anderson, Tyler Wilson, Tim Glazer, and Joe Glazer, both out there. Loss on a play, back inside the 20-yard line to the 19, and second down and a dozen. 5:15 to go and rolling along in the scoreless opening quarter. QB play actions and rolls to his right. Being chased, throws it away and into the crowd. He was feeling the heat. Good pressure again by Benedictine. That's Heath Baker again after him, by the way.
Yeah, Heath did a good job of pushing the quarterback to the sideline, and Wakely had a couple options. Throw it away and nothing's lost. Or you could have thrown it underneath to a receiver and picks up maybe a yard on the play. So, again, probably pick the better option there. Just throw it away, bring up a third and 12 right here.
Evangel with the football. Third down efficiency. They are 0 for 1 so far today. Ravens are going to shift around a little bit on the front. They're really overloaded up at the line of scrimmage. The quarterback is back to throw. Ravens put the heat on. Ball's going to be caught at the 15 and up to the 20-yard line. A gain of 1.
That time a little tunnel screen, but right there for Benedictine. To make the stop on the play, it's going to be Jackson Hoskins.
So, again, Evangel has not been able to move the ball. Gus, answer this. Is this which came first, the chicken or the egg? What do we got out here? Two offenses struggling or two defenses who are playing really well?
Do you want the real answer?
I got to know. Because
right now you have two offenses that probably aren't going to beat a lot of teams.
Here's a snap back, and the kick, he gets it away from the return man. It'll bounce to the 45, and it'll take an Evangel bounce to the 41. Benedictine, they're going to call it the 42. Ravens are going to have it at their own 42-yard line. BC, with the exception of that initial possession, has had really, really good field position today. Have not been able to exploit that. We're down to 4:19 to play. Opening quarter, scoreless. Evangel here in Atchison with Benedictine. And if I'm Evangel, the longer I stay tied with this team, and the deeper into the game I go, the better my chances are.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason I say that it's neither defense playing very well, I mean, we're four possessions in, and we're still in the first quarter. Right, like, these offenses can't get anything really working, and for the Ravens, it's a little frustrating because this is, you know, the fifth quarter that this has happened.
Kettle fakes the sweep to Jay Sean, and now he's going to run, gets to the 45, and then goes feet first, picking up about 5 yards. The downfield coverage, and look how they are spread out because
right now
Evangel's dropping guys back.
Yep, Evangel is trying to take away the home run. They don't want you to beat them over the top. They'll give up that intermediate route, and right now the Ravens have to learn to play more like the Chiefs, right? Be able to dink and dunk and pick everything underneath the yards that are being given to you. But Evangel is just going to say, hey, we're going to play too high safety, and you're not going to beat us over the top.
Yeah, don't you have to just take what you can have and what you can get until something else maybe presents itself? Second down, 7 at their own 45. Here's a straight-ahead run to the 50 and across to the 49-yard line. Half a dozen yards on that run. Ravens looking at a 3rd and 1. That was a good straight-ahead run.
Yeah, and that time the middle linebacker, Bradley Myers, able to make the stop on the play. It'll bring up now a 3rd and 1 for the Raven offense.
Gathright and Payne wide to the left side. And again, 3rd down and 1. Do you throw the ball here? I would think you put it in the hands of the running back, and they do, and he puts his head down. Rayshon Mills needed one, gets 2 or 3, and Benedictine will move the sticks, and that's how you do it.
But even on a 3rd and 1 call right there, you had the free safety and strong safety, Nate Swafford and Anthony Liberafon, dropping back at the snap, right? Watch their hips before the play. They are sitting there, hips open to the sideline, back leg ready to drop into a 45-degree angle. I mean, they are not going to give up anything.
Look at the team out there for the Ravens now. Dalton Witherspoon, Ethan Perrott, in the slot, very wide to the left side, Reed Levi. and then they hand off into the middle. Boy, I tell you what, they had me looking outside, but they hand off in the middle to Witherspoon for nothing.
Yeah, that's a great job closing that gap off. Peyton Ross, a senior linebacker out of Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, only his seventh tackle of the season.
Evangel in their traveling white uniforms this afternoon with white jerseys and white pants and that Evangel maroon helmet lettering and trim. For Benedictine, it is black on black on black with white lettering and trim. 2 minutes ago in a opening quarter that no one has been able to score in. Motion to the left side is going to be Buteau. He's running right down the 50-yard line. Will stop all the way across the numbers, and quarterback will keep it himself. Cuts to the right side, 50, 45, and so for Garrett, another 5-yard gain into the right side. He's following some good blocking out there. Got Jacoby out in front of him. Riley Childs out of Nixa. We know where that's at. He'll make the tackle for Evangel. Third down, 6, Benedictine. Omar Jaya Black into the game now for the Ravens. Diminutive, 5'9" wide receiver, the freshman from Irvine, California. Third down, 6. No one to the backfield with Kettle. He's back to throw. Go over the middle. Has his man caught. 30, 25-yard line. Down to the 22. Because that's what Benedictine has been wanting all afternoon, and they found it this time in.
Was that Harry?
Oh, yeah. How about that? For the first time in, what, 2 months? He's out there without a cast, and they throw to Harry Balke.
What a job right there by Harry Balke. Here's the deal. He's a guy who has been great for the Ravens this season, 42 extra points, 11 field goals. But, yeah, broke that hand early on in the season, so we haven't really seen him in that tight end role.
He got the big cast off 2 weeks ago, played the last 2 weeks in kind of a lighter bandage wrap-up. Here's a running play straight into the middle, down to the 20. Standing up yet, pushing, shoving, falling forward, taking his thing down to the 15-yard line, and look, a charged up, that's Rayshon.
That time Bradley Myers makes a stop right there for Evangel and for Benedictine. They're going to have to race if they want to get this play off.
10 seconds to go in the quarter. Benedictine wants one more play. They go into the wind. 4 seconds, 3. There's your snap. There's the run. There goes Rayshon. Gets a couple of yards. It'll be a first down, and we'll be back. As the first quarter is in the book, it went quickly, but it was uneventful. After one, Benedictine and Evangel are scoreless.
Farming, it's more than just a job. Farmers dedicate their lives every day to the land and the community that surrounds it. Exchange Bank recognizes and appreciates their hard work. We are dedicated to helping with your agricultural needs. We can assist you with loans to keep your farm operating and for expansion. Our team at Exchange Bank is here for the long haul. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest, safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, no bready bowls, and amazing salads. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
Back with you here at Wilcox Stadium on the Benedictine campus in Atchison, Kansas, where this afternoon, the number 6 Benedictine Ravens on senior day hosting the Evangel Valor out of Springfield, Missouri. Gus, I tell you what, if I'm Evangel, you know what I tell Benedictine? I'm never coming back.
Yeah.
That's the end of that.
Taking my ball, I'm going home because I don't like it anymore.
Well, what they don't like is this conference. And they have made that clear as they have withdrawn. And this is going to be their final year of competition in the heart of America. They're moving across the state line.
Yeah, they're gonna move the school, right? They're gonna pick up the school. They're gonna move it into Kansas. That way, they can be part of the Kansas Conference.
They are gonna be in the Kansas Conference. So there you have it. Benedictine picking up that first down on the final play of the opening quarter is threatening. For the first time in the game, they're going to be inside the 15-yard line at the 13, first and 10. Quarterback, it's going to be Garrett Kittle, single man to the backfield. To his right side, it's going to be Rayshon. Receivers, 2 to the left end, 1 to the right. Kittle's back, goes left, has his man caught at the 7. And right there, Jacob Gathright will be stopped immediately after the reception by Brody Patterson. First and, or rather second and five. Here comes the Raven offense. Gus, you notice in this possession, BC seems to have kind of gotten into that rhythm. We always talk about the rhythm and the feel and, you know, it's kind of the ebb and flow of the game. Well, the first couple of three possessions, a little shaky, but this trip down the field, they seem to all be more in sync.
Yeah, I think they kind of figured out what Evangel's looking to take away from him, and that's the long ball, so they're just trying to figure out how to play everything inside, and right now they're doing a good job of it on this possession.
Motion again will come to the right side. They will hand off on that jet sweep. No, quarterback's going to pull it back, keep it. He's down to the first down. He's down to the goal line. He's into the end zone. Touchdown! That's Garrett Kettle going in for Benedictine from 8 yards out. And the Ravens, with 14-11 to play in the opening half, have scored first and taken a 6-0 lead.
Here's a question for you.
Sure.
Where are we? Week 9?
Okay. Week 10.
Okay. And so, my question for you is this the first time the Ravens have been scoreless in a whole quarter, like the first quarter?
Oh, I'm sure.
I'll have to look that up here in a minute.
Here's the placement and a PAT. It's on its way, and it is good. And the guy who made a big catch in that drive hits a PAT is Harry Bauke. We'll add one, and we'll take another timeout, Joseph. This time, we're at 14-11 to go in the half. Now Benedictine, 7, and Evangel nothing.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
Benjamin Franklin once wrote about investing. An investment in knowledge pays the best interest. At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to navigate the world of investments. Let us answer your most pressing questions about the markets, whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with. Give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome back to Wilcox Stadium, where Benedictine, after a scoreless opening quarter, has gotten on the board with 14-11 to go in the half. The ensuing kickoff will bounce at the 2-skip into and out the back of the end zone as Dylan Hester does a little matador move and steps away and lets it shoot by him. And a nice kickoff by Cullen Bruner. Here comes the Benedictine defense. Gus, Evangel have been playing some pretty decent defense. Their offense, though, today has done most of nothing. They're 0-for-2 on third downs. They have got 23 total yards in the first quarter.
Yeah, this is a team coming off a win against Mid-America last week where they had 354 yards of total offense. They were 7-of-22 on third down conversions. But in the first quarter, they had an interception on play one and then two punts on their next two possessions. So looking to get something going right here.
They're 2-of-6 passing for 7 yards so far this afternoon. First and 10 at the 25-yard line. Here comes the Valor. Receivers, 2 to the left and 1 to the right, and we got a violation of the time, right?
Delay of game. Offense. Number 15. The 5-yard penalty.
There you go. Down. I thought I was looking in the sun. The play clock that I'm looking at on the north end has the sun kind of shining into it. But the play clock that quarterback R.J. Wakely is looking at is not got the sun in it. He can see that thing very clearly. So that penalty will make it a 1st and 15. Here's Evangel at their own 20-yard line. They'll wrap around handoff. Base play, straight ahead it's going to go. And rolling forward, it'll be about a 5-yard pickup for Nyuma. Bryce Nyuma, a 5'9 senior from Arlington, Texas. Probably grew up with visions of playing at AT&T Stadium, right? You can see it out the back door of his house. Second down and 10 from their own 25-yard line. Crusaders under 7th season. Hard to believe he's been there this long. Chuck Hepola.
You followed up Brenton, right?
Elam, yeah,
left
Elam
and
was
then
correct. Here's a handoff into the middle of the line. That's good for two. I'm thinking right a little misdirection, maybe a little trap block in the middle by their big center, Jerry Harris. They brought the freshman center in. He's replaced the senior. Jerry Harris, 6'6", 355, freshman center for Evangel today.
Jared Heron made the stop on the play. Now we're going to see Yanika Fondagale back into the ballgame for the Ravens. He's going to play that kind of slot corner over here, and the Ravens look a little confused on defense.
On a third down and long, quarterback has no one to the backfield with him. He'll throw over the middle. He's got a man open. It's going to be tipped and nearly picked off. That was a great bit of defense by Javi.
Yep, Bloomquist came flying up and hit the ball into the air. Three guys dive for it. Nobody can get to it, and now for Evangel. They're going to bring the punt unit back out for the third time here in this first half.
Tell you what, they have punted a lot so far today. Two punts averaging 40 yards apiece for Ryan Connor. Last week, he had 10 punts, and again, he was your conference special team player.
Why? He was a conference player of the week, right? You know, 10 punts, figure 40 yards a punt. You're going to amass some yardage real quickly.
Ravens looking to return it from their own 40-yard line. And there's the kick. High and hanging and kind of a lazy kick, but reaching up in front of his eyes. Benedictman is going to make the grab, and nicely done by Jayshon. Ravens are going to have their offense back on the field, leading at 7-0.
So the Ravens trying to build on that last possession where they were able to start checking down a little bit. They ran the ball effectively on that last possession, and they were able to cap it off with that 8-yard touchdown run by Garrett Kettle. So for Evangel, how about this? Three punts already in the early going. Benedictine, two punts and a touchdown.
I'll give you the moment to think about this. Are all the eyes at a conference on this game today? Is this the one to watch probably? First down and 10. Kettle over the middle, overshoots a wide, wide open receiver. And tell you what, there was a lot of room to run out there for the Ravens. And that looked like, was that Court Mattson?
Wow.
How about that? I hadn't seen him for a while.
Yeah, good to see Court back out there for the Ravens. He was right there.
Yeah, he used to be. I was like bouncing around. Great to see Court back out there.
The sophomore out of what? Washburn Rural.
Yeah. Probably. Second down. 10 to go. Again, back to throw. This time it's Reed Levi with the catch up to the 40-yard line, picking up 7 yards. It is a third down, 3, Benedictine. And again, you see what they're doing. We've talked about it a little bit. They're taking what's available, not looking way, way, way downfield. But when that defense has to start getting a little more honest and has to start stepping up, you know that will open itself.
Well, yeah, because right now we're seeing the Ravens run the football and throw to the tight end, right? Like, that has just not been their MO this season. And they've kind of been boxed into having to do it, and they're doing it pretty well right now.
Third down, 3, and there's motion and a little shovel pass. Picking up the first down, 45, keeping his balance. Reed, 50, down to the 45-yard line. Hey, what a great carry after the catch by Reed Levi out of Rockhurst.
Yeah, good job right there by Reed Levi. He slow played it, was able to catch the shovel, and then runs over a couple would-be defenders on his way to a big first down, taking it into Valor territory to the 45.
You know what? Reed Levi, you know, his best self would have been a fullback, right? I mean, he's built like that. He's big. He's strong.
You could line him up in the backfield.
I would say if you needed a lead blocker, I mean, I'm looking at him. He would do a great job. First and 10, Benedictine at the Valor 45. Here's a handoff, and there is nothing for Derek Overstreet there. He'll lose a couple three.
That time, as soon as Overstreet took the handoff, he looked up, and there was big Zach Myers. The 255-pound defensive end was able to plant him for a loss on the play. It's called a loss of 3. And then to bring up a 2nd and 13.
I got a question. Is Zach Myers and number 23 Bradley Myers, are they family, do you think?
Yeah. I'd say, you know, most likely twins, right? Sophomores, both of them about the same height, both of them about the same weight, both of them from Lee Summit.
Could be.
Good chance of that.
Could be. Second down, 13 after that 3-yard loss. Kettle drops back to throw, chase from the blind side, and he's just going to get rid of it.
That's
and is that grounding?
Grounding, unless they're going to say he's out of the pocket. Ball didn't get back to the line of scrimmage. And the defensive coordinator over there for Evangel, Jeremy DeSoto, in his first year as a defensive coordinator, 8th season with the Valor, he's looking for a little bit of an explanation right there.
So Garrett Kettle is now
6 of 11 pass into ball.
See, now the officials are going to talk about this because that ball did not get back to the original line of scrimmage. It was not near anybody. The only thing that might bail him out is if he was outside the pocket. I'm sure we're going to get an explanation right here.
There is no foul for intentional grounding. The quarterback was outside the pocket. The ball passed the line of scrimmage.
It did not, but okay. The only reason I know that is because it's straight up with us at the moment.
Every week I enjoy more of the technology of getting those officials in here on the broadcast. That's nice. Third down and long for the Ravens. Third down 13. They're just into Valor territory, leading 7-0 with 10:40 to go. First half. Kettle is back. Beebe over the middle. The official has to throw himself on the ground to get out of the way of the pass. It's complete for 8.
That thing whizzed by his left ear as Jayshon Todd makes the catch. Nate Swafford makes the stop, and the Ravens are now looking at a 4th and 5 at the Valor 40. They're quickly going to race up over the football looking to snap this thing.
And they are not punting. The Ravens on a 4th down 5 at the 40. This is a big call. Trying to draw the defense off. Now they're going to look over and see, are they going to make this play? Garrett's going to punt it. Snap is back, and Garrett will. Little left foot punt. That's nice. At the 10, at the 5, and caught on the 1 by Jacob Gathright. That was perfectly executed.
Yeah, Gathright and Jayshon Todd were both down there, turned around with their backs to the end zone, waiting for that ball to bound to them, and able to down it at the 1. So a great job right there by the Ravens.
We're down to 10 minutes to go in the first half. Benedictine leading at 7-0. Low scoring game today. Because it's low scoring, and that reflects the kind of yardage that we've seen put together by both of these teams, because we haven't had a lot. Ravens with 119 yards. Evangel, 31 yards so far today. First to 10 at their own 1-yard line. The handoff in the end zone and breaking out to near the 5.
Pressure into the backfield. It was Gavin Spangler, the leading tackler for Benedictine out of Katy, Texas, to make the stop.
So now for Evangel, 3rd down and a long 3. This afternoon they are 0-for-3 third down efficiency, so they have had trouble keeping their drive sustained. Benedictine defense is going to try to help them keep doing that. They'd like to see them continue to have a little problem. Quarterback will be in a pistol. Motion will go across the field. QB's back to throw. Fires one coming out of the backfield. That's going to be caught at the 10 up to near the 15, where Sammy Robinson will get a Valor 1st and 10.
Kyle Rowland was the first guy there able to kind of get the receiver off balance. Fabian Njika makes the stop on the play, but not before another 1st down for Evangel.
Ravens rotate players in and out of this defensive alignment. Zach Gill will come to the sideline. 1st and 10 at the 16-yard line. Evangelist has given himself a little bit of space, but still very deep in their own end. Quarterback R.J. Wakely will take it, hand off, running back, sweeping to the left side. It's going to be hit, mowed down, and maybe gets one. And there's a way late flag coming from back in the end zone. Somebody had to have said something, right? I mean, wasn't this way after the play had vacated the region?
Yeah, I would say so.
Now the official is going to move the flag to a place he likes better. And we'll get this call here.
Personal foul. Blindside block on the defense. Number 11. That's a 15-yard penalty from the end of the run. 1st down.
Well, I didn't see that one coming.
Not seeing a blindside block on a defender like that. But we'll move the ball up to the 32-yard line. It'll be 1st and 10 right there for the Valor. And Coach Osborne needs a little further explanation on this.
He's like, just exactly what was that all about? And they're going to delay the game for a moment as the officials come over to the near side to try to maybe make a little explanation. We're going to explain it. If you like sports, you're on the right station here today, huh? Benedictine football this afternoon. And then this evening, we're going to make our way down to the Nolan Gym. The Benedictine men's basketball team, a 5 o'clock tip-off. Benedictine ladies, a 7 o'clock tip. We'll have all of these games on care today. Here's a pass, batted in the air, and it is incomplete. That was slapped into the air, and that was Dwayne Lacy getting hands on it, maybe even both hands.
Dwayne Lacy has done such a good job this year of being able to, when he can't get to the quarterback, he stops, he extends those long arms, and at 6'2", you get that arm in the air, it's a real tough target for the quarterback to throw over. That time Wakely gets the ball tipped and it'll fall incomplete.
Second down, 10 from their own 32-yard line for Evangel. Ravens leading in the ballgame, only 7-0. This time a run into the left side of the line, nothing. Back to the line of scrimmage, and I don't think any additional. 7:50 to go. We're about midpoint now of the second quarter. Ravens running a few guys in and out. Fondangala will come in for Benedictine. He's going to swing over to the right side. Ravens will stay with his typical four-man defensive front. Third down and a long nine. Kaplinger runs over as they overload the receivers to the far side of the field. Now, conversation between the quarterback and running back. They're shifting some things around. QB's back to throw. Being chased. Throws it to his back out of the backfield. He's going to be hit by Kaplinger and going to be tackled short of the first down.
That time, the quarterback had to get rid of the ball quickly because Dwayne Lacy came through unblocked. I'm going to tell you, if there's somebody you block, you probably should get at least a hand or a chip on Dwayne Lacy. By the time it's all said and done, Evangel's going to pick up some of the yardage needed, but still be about 4 yards short. It would bring up a fourth down and another punt for the Valor. This would be their fourth time today to line up in pump formation.
I'm going to tell you what, I'm not getting in front of Dwayne Lacy. I don't care. Dwayne, it's 6'2", 265, like a Kenworth coming at you. Here's the punt. It's wobbly. It's ugly. Lance at the 35 takes a big Evangel. Roll to the 24-yard line. And Benedictine will begin its possession from there. Ravens in front, 7-0 with 6.5 minutes to go. First half here in Atchison, Kansas. Beautiful. Sunny skies, 46 degrees at kickoff. It was down near the freezing mark this morning.
Well, it sure felt like it.
Yeah.
With that wind and things didn't help. Well, today you talk about 46, feels like 40 with that wind.
Yeah. It's pretty, as long as you're looking at it. Here's a wraparound handoff, and the Ravens will take it to the right side to the 25, up to the 30-yard line. There's going to be Dalton Witherspoon picking up a first down. He's all the way up to the 35-yard line. That was kind of a combo run. I mean, he went kind of to the outside, but didn't go all the way to the edge. Cut it back up just outside the tackle, angled forward, got some daylight, and then just kind of power ran his way.
Yeah, he got outside the tackle, but didn't push it as far as the receiver box, and now we're going to get a penalty marker right as he turned the corner.
Illegal formation, offense, five in the backfield. That's a five-yard penalty. Repeat first down.
Well, that's unfortunate for Benedictine.
Yeah, now you're starting to look at one of those receivers made a mistake, and now Witherspoon's going to check out, and Dirk Overstreet will come back in.
Benedictine's got Perrott in the game. He'll go wide to the far side along with LeBron Jackson. On the near side, who do we have out here? Harry O'Neill, and very wide to the near side is Austin. Quarterback finds nobody, will keep it himself. 25, 30-yard line up to around the, they're going to mark him right at the 30-yard line. So 6-yard carry for Garrett Kittle on a broken play.
Yeah, so Kittle's able to push it forward, pick up some yardage. And now the Ravens will be looking at let's call it a second down and 4. So they're going to make a lot of substitutions. And can I tell you right now, they're running a whole bunch of different receivers into the ballgame, different backs, and I think they're getting a little confused about who's supposed to be in and what formation they're running. See, they're going to shift it back up, and now Kettle under center.
A double wing offense. Garrett is up behind the center. Hands off to his running back. He's buried. No gain. Probably the loss of a yard short of the 30-yard line. Right now, this game, and for one possession, it was not like this. The possession on which Benedictine scored, they kind of little had, we talked about it then, they had a little something going on, a little rhythm to their offense. Neither team's got anything going on here. And fans who love the high-scoring offenses, they got to be looking out here today going, what in the world is this?
It's a lot like that Ohio State and Northwestern game today, right? You expect a lot of points. It's 14-7 late in that game. You know what else it is? It's not even 2 o'clock, and we're nearing halftime.
Yeah, this game is moving along at a brisk clip. 7-0, Benedictine. 5 minutes to play in the first half. Ravens have the ball, third down 4 from their own 30. Kettle is back, pumps once, pulls it back, pumps again, throws it, and it's going to be caught diving at the first down. Ravens are going to advance it. That was Austin Buteau with the catch. Old Tom Bald Cougar.
Anytime you talk about Austin Buteau with the reception, he has his third of the game. Last week, Austin only had one reception for 14 yards. Now we're going to see Omar Jaya Black checking out. Back in will come Ethan Perot, the sophomore out of Apple Valley, coming off that huge game where he had the big third down conversion last week.
First and 10, Benedictine. Ravens with a slim one-score lead. Kettle will bring a running back to his side, fakes the handoff to him, tries to run, hit in the backfield, he'll lose a yard or two. I think right about now, Evangel has seen that play enough times that they kind of have a notion what's happening here.
And can I see it? Can I tell you? We haven't seen that play a whole lot this year, the way the Ravens are running it today. Now we're going to see, in for the first time this afternoon, Tanner Zimmerman, the freshman tight end out of Olathe West.
Okay, and after this play, I'm going to have you analyze this a little bit for me. We're late in the half, 3:45 to go. Benedictine leading is 7-0. Second down and 11 for the Ravens. QB back to throw again. Garrett rolling. Now a little shovel pass to the line of scrimmage. And no gain. Well, get back to that yard that was lost by Reed Levi. So now he's going to bring up a third down and 10. BC at its own 39-yard line. You've watched him for nearly a half. What's the game plan here for Benedictine? Because I haven't figured it out yet. Is this Muhammad Ali? Is it the rope-a-dope? You're just trying to lull him to sleep and then do something? Because
I think you're still just trying to figure out exactly what Evangel's doing, right? These two high safeties are really kind of throwing off your whole game plan, and they're bringing a lot of pressure right now. See, they're going to bring an end.
Everybody's coming here. Garrett steps up, going deep down the left side, and he overthrows Gathright because Gathright had kind of cut to the middle instead of staying on the nine.
Yeah, that little bit of wind behind him, too, also probably pushed that ball a little bit. So on a third and long, you needed the connection. Instead, you're going to bring your punt team back out as, what, this will be the fourth punt of the day for Benedictine. How about this? Six possessions. Four punts, a turnover on downs, and a touchdown.
So, yep, here comes Benedictine getting set to put a toe to the football. Dylan Hester back for the return. Oh, that's a nice kick. Hester calls for the fair catch, shades his eyes, and will make it at the 16-yard line. That was a tremendous punt. That is, you can talk about the fourth punt, and punting yardage is going to be very, very near even for these two teams here today.
Well, last week against Baker, Benedictine only punted the ball six times the entire afternoon.
Right. Well, again, four here today, and we're at 2:44 to go. That'll probably be the final punt of the opening half.
Oh, no. Vandal's got a shot to go three and out pretty quickly.
Well, they're at their own, 17-yard line. Advancing with the football, trailing Benedictine 7-0. Back to throws, Wakely. Penalty markers, illegal procedure will stop the play. I'm actually trying to run two things off of
I know. Start, offense, everybody but the center. Five-yard penalty, still first down.
Everybody but the center, I like it.
And by the way, that howling you hear as we bring up that official's microphone, I'm telling you, the wind, it was at 13 miles an hour at the start of the game, is probably closer to 20 now. I mean, it is really, really snapping out there. So here we go. 2:42 to play in the half. First and 15, now back at their own 12-yard line. Little wraparound handoff and a straight-ahead run. It's going to be good for two. No, they're going to say it's good for one. It'll bring them up third or second down long. 2.5 and rolling along toward intermission.
Benedictine. First time out of the half.
Here you go, guys. They're thinking what you're thinking. Ravens think they're going to get the ball back. And they're going to take a timeout. Joseph will take one as well. 2:34 to go in the half. Benedictine 7, Evangel nothing.
Skyway Bank at 711 Commercial Street in downtown Atchison is always introducing new products with you in mind. Check out the selection of slim and foldable batteries, Delta gummies, carts, and dispos. If it's e-juice you want, Skyway Vapes has it, along with all of your vaping accessories. It's the vaping experience you want. Friendly, knowledgeable service with a range of products that can't be beat. Skyway Vapes, 711 Commercial in downtown Atchison. Open 10 to 9, Monday through Saturday. Sunday, noon to 7.
Millions of Americans suffer from hernias each year, but only a small percentage seek medical attention. Hernias can become extremely painful and cause major health complications. The only way to fix a hernia is with surgery. Amberwell General Surgeon Dr. Roderick Warren is an expert in hernia repair and uses advanced techniques at both Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha. If you think you might have a hernia, contact Dr. Warren's office at 913-367-6682 to request a consultation.
Well, coming out of the timeout, let's see what Evangel elects to do. And they're going to go right back to page one, and it's a good one. It's straight up the middle off the left guard and busting across the 20-yard line, but coming up short of the first down mark, Bryce Nyama.
That time you had to hold your breath a little bit. It looked like he was going to pick up the first down, but a great job by Jared Heron, the sophomore defensive end out of Moberly, Missouri, able to stop him just short. It'll bring up now a third and, call it two, for the Evangel offense. Third and two, just at 2 minutes to play.
Big call here. You expect them to do the same thing, right? They will. The running back has got it. He's hit. He's again, and he's going to lose about a half a yard. The Ravens did not let him get to the edge. And how about Gavin Spangler? When you're a senior, you want to have a huge season? We'll hang on to it. You want to have a big year? Well, Gavin Spangler's having that this year.
Yeah, but it feels like Gavin Spangler has been here for 100 years, right? Gavin's only a junior. He is a guy who has played really well for this team. He's a leading tackler coming into the ballgame at 53 tackles. 7.5 of those are for loss. And now Benedictine going to take a timeout with a minute 56.
Yeah.
They're looking to get this football back.
They are. It's going to bring up a fourth down at about two for Evangel. They'll be kicking into the wind from their own 25-yard line, and the Ravens will still have one timeout for their offense to work a little bit and maybe at least get themselves into field goal range so Harry can put a point on the board of three.
Yeah, because you do have that win behind your back. And we talked about Harry Balke, what, a long of 51, and it was kind of on a windy day like this. So get one up. He got a shot at it. Jay Sean is going to be back to return kicks. And he's been doing this for, what, like 2.5 weeks now?
Yeah.
I mean,
feels like it, right?
So
Evangel continues to struggle offensively, man. 1 of 7 third down efficiency. Total yards here in this half, 66. 66 yards today. Here's the snap back. Ravens with a little pressure to kick us away. It's not a particularly good one. It'll be not returnable, but take a huge, huge advantage of that. What on earth was Jay Sean thinking? The ball is bounding. There are four kick coverage guys just kind of following it down the field. And Jay Sean jumps on it protecting the troop from a hand grenade.
Yeah, unless he's trying to save the 3 seconds that's going to come off the clock while they stand around it.
Yikes.
Just a high-risk type thing. But the Ravens are going to hand it back at their own 36-yard line with a minute 47 left and only one timeout remaining.
Yeah, but for Benedictine, if you're going to move it down the field, you're going to have to play a different kind of offense than you've played here in the first, almost two quarters. You're going to have to be much more open. Going to have to look a little longer. That cover two defense is back. QB will throw into the left flat. Gathright is going to be tackled and tackled smartly in the field of play. That was well done by Riley Childs.
Yep, Riley Childs, who's a free safety, has kind of been pushed into that cornerback position today, and he's done a great job of stepping up, answering the call.
Three down linemen for the Valor defense. This time the handoff will go to the right side. That's going to be Damon. He will pick up, three or four. Leaving the Ravens looking at a third down three, but the clock is rolling with a minute 15 to go in the half.
Brody Patterson makes a stop on that one, and the Ravens, again, you got to be thinking they're going to take the top off on one of these plays right here.
Right now they're going to get the first down on a third down two. Here's the ISO pass. It'll be taken by Reed Levi. He'll take it to the 50-yard line, gain six. They'll stop the clock to advance the sticks. First and 10, Benedictine at the 50 with a minute one to go in the half. You practice this every game, or every night in practice, right?
This 2 minute drill.
Quarterback is back, throws it right side. It's going to be caught. An 11-yard gain. Smartly getting out of bounds is Buteau, and down now at the 39-yard line. Benedictine.
Yeah, Buteau ran a nice little route in front of Anthony Stanford, makes the catch, steps out of bounds with 53 seconds left. It's first and 10 for the Ravens now at the Valor 39.
Play took 8 seconds off the clock. Long count, Kettle. Fires went over to the left flat. Reed will catch it, and he will be tackled in the field of play, picking up five
Or is that LeBron made that catch? Yeah, you're right. LeBron Jackson with the catch. The 6'2 freshman.
They have the same body type out there, honestly.
Yeah, 6'2 freshman, 6'4 junior. So here comes BC. Second down, over the middle, picked off and dropped again. Directly into the hands of the defender.
Look,
the defender and the receiver collide, and they are both down.
Yeah, and the receiver got the worst of that. I don't know if you saw it, but when he got hit, his mouthpiece is out there on the hash right now. I mean, that was a violent hit. And it wasn't one of those things that was, you know, with any malice on it. That time the cornerback or the safety was looking the entire time at the football, and he went flying up trying to make a play on the football and just make contact with the receiver.
Joseph, let's take a little breather while they attend to this young man. Half a minute to go in the half. It remains Ravens 7, Fowler nothing.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With 3 tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take 5, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
You're listening to KAIR-FM, Horton Atchison, your only source for the latest local news and information. Find us online at msconews.net.
Happy to have you back with us here at Wilcox Stadium on the Benedictine College campus in Atchison, Kansas, where we've got a half a minute to play in the opening half, and Raven player and an Evangel player collide deep in the backfield, the defensive backfield. Evangel player off, and the BC player is still being attended to, but he's sitting up now. And so they're still giving him a very hard look-see to make sure he's okay. And
why don't we just run around the conference?
I was going to say, their game's going on everywhere today.
Yeah, Mid-America trying to do their part. They're leading Missouri Valley, 35-14, 9 minutes left in the third quarter of that game. Grandview, a 28-0 lead on Culver-Stockton in the second quarter. Clark and Penn, they're scoreless with about a minute left in the first half. Baker leads Central Methodist 7-0 with a minute 18 left in the first half. And Graceland leads Peru State 19-3, still 7 minutes left in the first half of that game.
Well, the players come off the field. They're giving him a look-see, but it comes off under his own power and for Benedict, and it'll bring him a third down, 5 at the Crusader 34-yard line. They're going to motion Jay Sean over to the right side. He'll fill the slot, make a trips right. Garrett is back to throw, passes short. It's going to be caught, shoved out of bounds is Jacob Gathright, and he's right at the first down marker, but there is a penalty at the 40.
Yeah, you got to think it's holding because it was back in the quarterback's lap right there. And the officials now make his way over to the far sideline to ask Coach Chuck what he wants to do.
I know what he wants to do. He could ask me, and I know the answer to this, right?
Yeah, you're going to back him up, right?
Sure.
You're going to keep it at 30.
Holding. Offense. Number 78. It's a 10-yard penalty. Repeat third down.
So there's the answer to that. And for Benedictine, that's an ugly penalty.
Pushes you out of field goal range.
Exactly what it does. And now with only 24 seconds left in the half, and the Ravens still hanging on to that single timeout remaining. They'll have it at the 44-yard line for the Evangel 44, but you're going to have to get this thing, I mean, realistically, for a field goal, you got to get it to the 25 at least, don't you?
Yeah. I would take one from the 30 if you had no time left.
Kettle is back, chased out of the pocket, rolling. Stops, looks, now just chucks one deep into all kinds of coverage. Push it, shove it at the 5. Is a marker coming out? No. That was a good no call.
Yeah, at that time, Anthony Stanford got in a little hand fight with a Raven receiver right there. And I like the no call because you had two guys just battling back and forth after the football. I don't think anybody gained an advantage. Jacob Gathright, the intended receiver right there.
And again, the defender, the much taller of the two. And now for the Ravens, it is fourth down, and you got 14 seconds left. Well, you throw it downfield, right? I mean, you're at the 44-yard line. I don't think there's any chance of Evans getting a point before halftime, even if you give it back to them here.
Yeah, you're going to give it back to them. I mean, they're still trying to kick a field goal into the wind, and their field goal kicker is not great. And Benedictine going to utilize their final timeout.
Benedictine.
We'll hang on to it.
Third and final timeout of the half.
We'll keep it. I don't like that.
No,
because, if you get a big play,
you
can still call the timeout without having to clock the ball. Now, I get it. The clock will stop on a first down. But you're talking about the field goal kicker for Evangel. I mean, he is 2-4 in the season with a long of 42. So, I mean, they're probably not kicking field goals either. So
no. Raven Regiment's got to be happy to see the rain stop because you don't want to march around in those fantastic marching band uniforms with the rain coming down. And they don't have to worry about that as it is gloriously spectacular out here this afternoon. Beautiful, beautiful sunny day in Atchison, Kansas. Ravens leading us 7-0. And Evangel and Benedictine battling here today for the title of champion of the South Division of the Heart of America Athletic Conference.
You know, if Benedictine can win the South, they will be the only team in, Heart of America Athletic Conference history to win the North and the South.
Now, Evangel's a pretty good second-half team, too. Evangel, last week, beat Mid-America 21-13. Two second-half interceptions, and they held the Pioneers scoreless over the last three quarters. So, this Evangel defense, it can do some things. And the Ravens look like they're going to go ahead and just punt this football away. And that surprises me maybe a little. It surprises me less having taken the timeout, though, I suppose. I just worry about a big return. You've got to get back there. Here's the kick. High, away from the return man. Bounces it to 10, to the 5. And at the 1-yard line, there's a shove in the back by the return guy. Tried to push the kick coverage man out of bounds and kind of does with the football at the 2. Make it the 1. So for the second time, Benedictine has pinned Evangel as deep as you could possibly get him.
Yeah, and for Colin Bruner, another great punt right there. And again, you don't like to talk about your punter having a great day, but that's what we're seeing from Benedictine. Now for Evangel, you got to get out of the end zone right here. You're going to have to just take the snap and push forward if you're the quarterback, R.J. Wakely.
I mean, if you're the Ravens, do you go after him and take a chance of letting him get a pass away? Or are you just like, because he can't take a knee here to go to halftime. 4 seconds ago, he's got to push forward. And the Ravens stack him up. Does he get out of the end zone? He does, and it's halftime. We'll be back here in Atchison, Kansas, and summarize the opening half for you. Intermission score from Wilcox Stadium, Benedictine 7, Evangel nothing.
Your car is a complex machine filled with the latest technology, and it needs quality service to keep it running right. By taking your car or truck to Lewis Chevrolet Buick in Atchison, you will have peace of mind knowing your vehicle will be maintained and repaired by highly trained professionals. And when it's time to add or upgrade a vehicle, look right here at Lewis Chevrolet Buick. Small town feel with big city discounts. Call them at 913-367-3000 or stop by 314 Woodlawn in Atchison.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend, Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
In Atchison, Kansas, it's halftime of this afternoon's Heart of America Athletic Conference college football game, and the number 6 team in the nation, Benedictine, leads Evangel 7-0. Got some marching band getting set to come out. Two teams making their way to the locker room. And this is not the kind of football that fans today are accustomed to seeing. They're accustomed to seeing those shootout games, you know, where you're flirting with 100 combined points. This is, you know, this is 1972 football.
Yeah, sure not scoring a whole lot of points today, man. 7-0 in the first half. Sure, looking at the first downs for Benedictine, 10 first downs to Evangel, only having 4 first downs. On third down, you talk about good teams that you're going to convert on third downs. For Benedictine, not awful. I mean, 6 of 13 today, you'd like to see that closer to 60%.
I was going to say, what's the number? What's the goal shot?
Yeah, I mean, you're really trying to get closer to 60%. If you're Evangel, you're 1 of 6 today on third down, so you're 17%. We've talked about the 5 punts for Evangel for Benedictine, 5 for 193. Shouldn't have 193 punting yards and 173 yards of total offense right now. For Evangel, their total offense looks like this. 24 plays, 67 yards, 20 of them through the air. So, hasn't been exactly pretty for either offense right now. Penalties, though, haven't seemed like a killer for Benedictine. 3 for 34 for the Valor, 2 for 10. Time of possession. I know you love the time of possession stat, but Benedictine has just held onto the ball in the first half, right?
Yeah.
21 minutes for the Ravens.
Held onto the ball over twice as much time as Evangel, but still scored one time.
Yeah, Kettle, not throwing bad. He's 14 of 22 passing for 108 yards. For R.J. Wakely, he's only 4 of 10 with an interception and about 20 yards of passing.
Well, that all said, these coaches, you know, sometimes you go to the locker room and you're like, you don't have anything to talk about. I think both coaches have more than they can cover at one halftime.
Yeah, I don't think they've got enough time.
Okay, is either coach happy? Is either coach saying,
no,
guys, this is what we were going to do today, and we've done it?
Yeah, well, I say no, but Coach Heffler's got to be happy, right? Because he's like, yeah, my offense isn't hitting, but, man, that defense is playing well in the sense of you've only given up 7 points. Like,
well,
you are one big play away from being back in this game.
And
this
for
is why you like 1-0 baseball. It drives me nuts.
Yeah,
you like
one
it.
Pitch changes it.
One pitch changes it all.
Yeah, but for Benedictine, I'll just one-up you. They're saying, we played a half, we gave them nothing. We didn't give him one score. We gave him nothing, a shutout first half.
Yeah, but, again, Coach Osborne's a little more offensive-minded. So he said, congratulations, Coach Cook, but he's saying, all right, but let's put some points on the board, right? Like, there should be another number in front of that one.
By the way, this is not the final score.
Are you out on my limb?
No, I don't think it's as much of a limb at all. I think that the second half is going to see three touchdowns.
I was going to say, how many touchdowns do you think are left?
I see three touchdowns.
See, and I don't. I just don't think there's a whole lot of scoring left in this thing.
We're going to be able to find out. Looking forward to that. And don't forget, there's basketball coming up. Two games here this evening on K-Radio. But right now, we're going to take a break. Halftime in this college football game in Atchison, Kansas. Your intermission score, Benedictine 7, Evangel nothing. We're kicking it back to Joseph in the Care Sports Studio for halftime.
It's time for your Raven Halftime Show. Benedictine Raven football is brought to you by our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management. Summer golf and weekend barbecuing will soon be behind us. With Raven football and fall upon us, it may be a great time to review your investment and retirement portfolio. At Hamada Wealth Management, they believe it's healthy to prepare for the coming winter. If you're looking for a second opinion or a financial planning review, give them a call at 913-379-8690. That's 913-379-8690. Or search online at Hamada Wealth Management, Atchison, Kansas. Hamada Wealth Management, a new name in town, providing old-fashioned financial services. Securities offered through Avantax Investment Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Avantax Advisory Services. Insurance offered through an Avantax-affiliated insurance agency.
We've got Aaron Hauser with us, member of the coaching staff for the Benedictine Ravens. Coach, how are you today? Good to talk to you, man.
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you reaching out. Just getting ready. It's a rainy Friday before the game, so hopefully it clears up a little bit and we're good to go tomorrow.
Well, let's start off with a little Aaron Hauser bio. You are one of the guys who's probably most traveled and has
quite a extensive background in football and coaching. Tell me, first of all, about home. Where are you from?
Yeah, for sure. I come from San Diego, North County, San Diego, in a town called San Marcos. I graduated in 2010 from high school, so I'm 30 years old. After I was done playing in high school, I went on to Northern Arizona University and played there for a bit in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I graduated from NAU in 2014 with a business degree. Returned back to California, back to San Diego after graduating, and I coached for my father, who was my high school head football coach at Mission Hills High School. So I coached for 4 full seasons as a high school coach, and I was teaching math and did a little bit of special ed, and then decided that I love ball but wasn't in love with the classroom part of it. And so I went into the college ranks and found myself at a small school in the middle of Iowa, in the middle of nowhere, called Waldorf University, and coached receivers there for 2 years. And then Coach Wilcox here at Benedictine, going into his last season, which I didn't know at the time, interviewed me to take the receivers job here and replace the retiring coach Denny Murphy. And so I've been here ever since. This is my 3rd season going on this year, and I'm the recruiting coordinator and receivers coach. Yep.
So let's talk about, you know, your early football days. Obviously, you were a player back in San Diego. What was your position? Tell me a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so I was a quarterback in high school. I was a 5'10" run around southpaw quarterback. And I also played receiver and returned kicks. So I had that background as well, but I was an offensive guy. As a young high school kid, freshman JV, I was a quarterback, and we were 19-1 while I was a quarterback as a young kid. We had a really good class. And then when I got to varsity as a junior, I made the transition to receiver because we had a senior quarterback who ended up going to the University of Montana to play quarterback. So that was my first year truly being full-time wide receiver. And then my senior year, went back to quarterback, unfortunately got hurt. I broke my arm my first game of my senior year at quarterback on a naked rollout pass play. And so that was a big bummer as a senior in high school. And I beat the doctor's estimate by 3 weeks and returned, again, really kind of against his recommendation. I casted it up my left arm and returned as a wide receiver and finished my high school career at receiver. So kind of battled through a little bit there, but so I have background. I have an early background both at quarterback and receiver when I was young.
So then did you go on to play collegiate football?
Yeah, I went on to Northern Arizona, which is an FCS school in Flagstaff, Arizona, and played there for a little bit and then kind of transitioned more into like a coaching role, you know. I was just a scout team guy. I never got to play on Saturdays. Probably realistically for my skill set, I probably should have gone to a lower level school for me to probably have been more successful on the field collegiately. However, I don't have really any regrets. I really, really enjoyed NAU and my time there. I met my best friends in the world as well. So really enjoyed that. And then, you know, obviously stayed, you know, with the game as I moved back to California and coached at the high school ranks, like I said, with my dad. And we were really good, too, when I was coaching back in the high school level. I mean, we were one of the best teams in the state of California. Was fortunate enough to coach some really good ones. And then, you know, transitions into a college coach, and that's when the recruiting part of it, you know, started coming to play, obviously.
So if I were to ask you who your real football inspiration was, I'm thinking that your dad's top of that list.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you know, I grew up in a football family. So, you know, Saturdays were college and Sundays were NFL and Friday nights. There's nothing like Friday Night Lights. So, you know, ever since I was young, I mean, I was a ball boy since I was 8 years old, you know, playing with my friends on the sidelines, watching my dad coach. So, I mean, it's just ingrained in me. Always has been. My mom is a big football fan as well. I think you need to have that in a football family, is the gals also have to be pretty dialed in. So, with that world, but you know, I think that, growing up with football and doing it, you know, as long as I have, when you love it as much as I do, you know, it just seems like the right fit to do what I'm doing for a living now. You know what I mean? So, my dad's definitely my biggest inspiration. I mean, you know, he's been doing it for a long time. He's probably getting near the tail end of his career finally, but, just his work ethic and, you know, how much care he has for his players and the discipline and the culture that he has created at our high school. I mean, really everything I've learned is coming from him, you know, and then obviously picking up on other things that I've learned since I've been out in the Midwest from other really good coaches at the collegiate level too. So it's been a good mix for me being a West Coast guy out here, kind of bringing a different flavor for sure to the staff and to the team.
Visiting with Aaron Hauser, member of the Benedictine football staff. So being a San Diego guy, Chargers fan, I guess?
Used to be. Once they packed it up and left up to L.A., that kind of broke my heart. So I guess there's supposed to be a San Diego-Los Angeles rivalry, but L.A. gets the better of us in pretty much every sport that there is. So, you know, I got a lot of pride in San Diego. I got a lot of pride of where I'm from. I'm a Padres fan still, but Chargers not as much anymore. You know what I mean? So just a fan of the game, really.
Okay, for some of us who are less traveled than you are, all you hear is the finest weather on the planet is in San Diego. Is there anything to that? Is it really right?
Yeah, that's 100%. You know, they call it the AFC, America's Finest City, for a reason. You know, it's a special place down there. It's isolated, you know. Camp Pendleton to the north, which is the largest Marine base in the United States. So that's just north of North County, San Diego. So it kind of divides San Diego and L.A. It's this massive, you know, Marine base. And then obviously to the south, you have the border, you know, into Mexico. And then, you know, to the east, you have the desert, which eventually you can travel far enough and run into Tucson and Phoenix and Arizona. But you know, that's a ways out. And then obviously to the west, you have the Pacific Ocean. So it's a very isolated area, which is, I think, what makes it such a special place. And I guess you don't really know how good you have it until you leave and you go to you know, the Kansas City greater area, and it's 100 degrees on Tuesday and then, you know, 60 degrees on Wednesday. You get a 40 degree difference this week in a couple days or whatever it was. So I'm more accustomed to that now, but you don't even realize that that's what the real world's like if you live in San Diego your whole life. So
now you talk about you left, of course, you know, the fabulous weather in your home area in California, and you end up in the Midwest. How in the world do you travel halfway across the continent? What's that story?
Yeah, I mean, when I was coaching for my dad, for those handful of years, that's when I got the itch to get to the next level. And, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of, obviously Southern California has so many great high school football programs, but there's not a lot of college programs, you know, not nearly as much as there is in the Midwest. And so when starting to search for avenues to get into college coaching, I ended up connecting with a gentleman. His name was Josh Littrell. He now lives in San Antonio, Texas, coaching high school ball, but Coach Littrell was at Waldorf and he had just gotten there, and he and I had connected, and he kind of found me, and I found him. And so we went through the interview process, and I ended up taking a bit of a leap of faith and moving to Forest City, Iowa, you know, at a school that only has 400 people attending the school in a town of probably not even 2,000 people, you know, 45 miles from a Walmart, you know. So you talk about the culture shock. That was the culture shock right there, you know, to getting out and doing that. But I knew it was a business trip. I knew what I was doing. I was passionate about it, and we won a lot of games. We were successful. So moving to Atchison and being at Benedictine was a huge upgrade for me in terms of what this school represents and this football program and locationally being right next door to Kansas City. So I'm 100% at home, you know what I mean? Even though I still love being able to go back home and see San Diego and see my family and friends, for sure.
Well, during your time at Waldorf, I didn't know, was there an overlap? Did you know Coach Finley?
Yes. My last year at Waldorf was Coach Finley's first year. So we coached together for a year. He's a good friend of mine. He was the defensive coordinator when I was the receivers coach for that 1 year. So when I left to come to Benedictine, I left, and then Coach Littrell, the former head coach there, ended up leaving probably a month or two right after me. I don't remember exactly the date. And then that's when Coach Finley was promoted. So I was only at Benedictine, and this was 2020. This was COVID, you know. So I was at Benedictine, but we weren't doing much yet. This was when the whole country was in lockdown. And that's when Finley was promoted, and I was here kind of getting ready to go. So I do have a great relationship with Coach Finley. I got a lot of respect for what he does up there, and how he orchestrates his program and runs it. He does a phenomenal job. So definitely proud to have come from there and have been able to coach with him. And, you know, that was great.
Aaron Hauser with us, a member of the BC football staff, kind of getting to know him. Coach, let's see, you're traveling across the Midwest, or you're driving to California, and you're riding along in your car. What are you listening to? You got the go-to podcast? You on an audio book? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I'm a pretty diverse guy, man. I'm a reggae guy, believe it or not. I guess that's the San Diego in me. So I'm a pretty laid-back guy off the field. The receivers, you know, and the coaching staff here know that. Pretty low-key once you step off the turf. I guess that's the West Coast blood in me. But I'm a reggae guy, but I'm a music guy for sure. I love music, all genres. So I'm all over the map, but I usually turn the volume up and I like driving. I haven't had to drive all the way to the West Coast recently. I've been in the air to do it, but out on the road recruiting and things like that. I'm on the phone quite a bit doing that to set up appointments and check boxes and find things out and do that. But if I'm not on the phone, I'm usually on the music. I'm a music guy, so that's kind of the route I take.
So do you have a special talent? Do you have a musical ability, or do you, you know, have some kind of a skill that we don't even know about?
I don't have any musical ability. I just enjoy it. My talent, I guess, was that when I was in college, as I was kind of wrapping up my collegiate career, both as a student and an athlete, and transitioning to being a high school coach, there was about three or four winters in a row where I was a professional snowboarder and professional snowboard instructor. So I got really, really good on a snowboard for a little part of my life there. So that's probably the big secret. My kids know that, but that's probably the big secret that I have, is that I was pretty good at snowboarding and riding. And I would travel between a few different states. I traveled through Colorado a lot, New Mexico, Utah. And then where I went to school at NAU, there's actually a ski resort about 25, 30 minutes from campus, pretty big one. So it was easy for us to escape and do that. So I was able to get on a board about 100 times a year, which is how that started to happen. And I started taking it seriously. So I have a little bit of that in my world, in my life, in my resume for sure.
So when you got downtime, and I know as a coach and with a family, there's not much of that, but do you have a hobby? Is there something that you do? I mean, do you collect figurines? Do you make chips in a bottle? What do you do in your time?
Well, I recently got engaged to Teddy Cerna. She lives in St. Joe right now, and I live in Atchison, so we kind of bounce back and forth between two places every night. Teddy, she played soccer at Mo West. And so our biggest hobby together is probably travel, to be honest. If we do have the opportunity, that's what we like to do, to get out and do things like that. See different people. Her mom lives in Tampa Bay in Florida. My parents live in obviously San Diego. So we can go either direction, you know what I mean? And get to the coast. So we try to do that. I have friends spread out across the country, whether it's Texas or Arizona or Vegas or, you know, and obviously my Southern California ties. And then she's got family in Omaha and Florida and along the East Coast. So we try to travel as much as we can. We both try to stay in pretty good shape. I don't think I'm a superstar athlete, but I try to, I try to stay in as best shape as I can too. And so does she. So whether that means running or or lifting or doing some kind, you know what I mean? So we'll do a lot of stuff like that. And we're young, you know, I'm 30, she's 29. So we're pretty aggressive in terms of our work right now. You know, we're both, our hobbies are right now is being good at work and spending time with people that we love. You know what I mean?
So we set a date?
Yes, June 10th. Next year, June 10th, it'll be out in Temecula, which is just north of San Diego, just kind of inner from the coast, in an area called the Inland Empire. Really nice area, Temecula, Marietta. It's like wine country, so it's at a vineyard out there. So we're excited.
Outstanding. One last question. Childhood sports hero.
That's a good question. Growing up a Chargers fan, my era was LaDainian Tomlinson, you know. So that would have been one of the guys. Another guy.
Thanks for listening to the Raven Halftime Show, brought to you by our title sponsor, Hamada Wealth Management. We now rejoin Tom and Gus live at the stadium for second half action.
Hey, welcome back to Wilcox Stadium here on the beautiful Benedictine College campus in Atchison, Kansas. We're getting set to go to the second half, and the Ravens are going to kick it away. Evangel, a short return, will have it at their own 23-yard line?
Yeah, about the 23-yard line, and for Evangel, just looking to get something going. We talked about the stats there at the end of the first half, but Evangel quarterback R.J. Wakely, 4 of 10 passing, no touchdowns, one interception, and 20 yards in the first half. So, got to get something to go for him. And right now, they're going to lean on their running back. Namaya is in.
Little handoff and straight into the right side of the line, and there's not much there. The Benedictine defensive front four have been phenomenal with Glasser and Anderson and Wilson and Baker, and they continue to shine. They made an adjustment just before the snap, make a tackle for a gain of maybe a yard. We'll call it a second and nine for the Valor.
Yeah, and right now the Valor are going to switch out the running back. I think they're just trying to figure out something that's going to work for them, and a guy who did not appear on our two deep is going to be in there now. You're going to see Eric Williams, a 6-foot freshman out of Irving, Texas.
But again, the thing for Evangel is you got to find something that's going to work because nothing in the first half did. They had a phenomenally small number of yards. We're going to get a quarterback draw. He's hit at the line of scrimmage. He'll get nothing, maybe even lost the yard picked up a moment ago.
Yeah, and look at everybody going nuts out on the field, giving Javai Bloomquist some love after that play. He saw something on the motion. He went flying from the safety out to the flat. The quarterback looked, said, nope, that's going to be picked. Tucks the ball, dives forward, loses about a yard on the play. We're back to 3rd and 10 right here.
That's what game prep, study the films, know what you're looking at, and then recognizing what's going on the field. 3rd down, 10 of their own 23-yard line. Back to throw again is Wakely. Stepped up in the pocket, fires one into the flat. It's going to be caught in right at the first down marker. That was a well-run route, and Dylan Hester executed that perfectly as Jackson Hoskins made an immediate tackle.
Yeah, Dylan Hester, the number one receiver for this Evangel team. Last week he had 5 catches for 77 yards and a touchdown. That time, able to know where the first down was, get a little past it, pick it up.
Quarterback is back, passes over the middle. It's going to hit the big guy across the 45 and getting all the way to the midfield mark. Andrew Holden, the tight end out of Mountain View, Missouri, with the catch and carry.
Now, the Ravens are thinking the ball came out. It did not, as Holden, 2 catches for 14 yards last week, picks up 15 right there.
Andrew's a big cat, 6'5", 215.
First down.
Yeah, so the official just letting us know that the runner was down by contact.
And Evangel's come out throwing the ball short routes and then picking up what they can from the 50. Here's now, he wants the home run right side. He's got a man nearly picked off, getting in the air, turning around, Jackson Hoskins, and then Jackson has a couple of words for his opponent.
Jackson Hoskins just turns around and maybe tells the opponent that, hey, you're not going to be able to throw on me either. But we're seeing Evangel come out in this second half just geared up, trying to make something happen, right? They're trying to pick up the tempo a little bit, try to hit some of those higher percentage shots, and right now moving the ball a little bit.
2nd and 10 at the midfield stripe. Early second half. Ravens in front, 7-0. Quarterback will keep it himself on what might have been a broken plane. He's got room. 45-40, gets the first down, and
He'll pick up 14 yards to the Benedictine 36, Gavin Spangler, with another tackle. But Gus, Evangel has come out in the second half, and they're doing something they didn't do in the entire first half, and that's move the ball.
Yeah, we talked about it. Maybe getting a little more energized, starting to hit some of those higher percentage shots. And you know what else they're doing? They're quickly over the football. They're running fast plays.
QB is back to throw again. He's going to get away from the defender, rolling left, and makes a late throw. Was it caught in the field of play?
Nope.
Officials running up here to...
That time, Zach Gill in coverage. It'll bring up now a second and 10 for the Ravens. And with that incomplete pass, it'll give Benedictine a chance to change out some guys across the front line. Isaac Anderson, Dwayne Lacy back in for Benedictine.
Second down, Evangel at the Benedictine 36-yard line. 12:42 to go in the third quarter. Ravens in front, 7-0. Not exactly a huge lead. Second down call, long count by quarterback Wakely. He will hand off, running back, breaks through, now cuts to the right side, darts to the edge again, gets to the 30, outruns defenders to the 25, all the way to the 20-yard line, and we saw Bruce Nyuma show me speed we had not seen today.
Yeah, Nyuma hits a little second gear as he tries to pick up the first down, as Jackson Hoskins will finally escort him out, but not before he's able to pick up another first down.
Key to this drive for Evangel has been the play of the offensive line in this series. They have been dominant up front, and the quarterback's pass batted away. Talk about the line. How about that two-handed block by Zach Gill?
Yeah, Zach Gill comes flying up, gets two hands into the air, and honestly, he hit that thing with his elbows. He probably could turn around and have intercepted it. It will stop the clock with 12:15 left here in the third quarter. It's going to bring up now a second and 10 for Evangel.
Even moving into the wind, Evangel may well be in field goal range at the Benedictine 21-yard line. Quarterback R.J. Wakely, the Tulsa, Oklahoma senior, will back up. He's got his running back, Nyuma, on his right hand. QB will roll left, now throwing his own undefended! Did he catch it in bounds?
No way.
No.
Yeah.
Out the back of the end zone, and Gus, there was an error by the Ravens secondary because there was zero defense on that receiver.
Yeah, and that time, you know how last week Coach Osborne told you that the big deal for Garrett was going to be to throw on time? Well, that time R.J. Wakely just didn't get the ball out quickly enough. By the time he noticed his wide receiver being wide open, he just sailed that one out the back of the end zone.
A huge break for Benedictine is Michael Murray, their number two receiver, had that, but couldn't get it in time. Here's a pass to the running back, and here's where Wakely did see what was happening. His back was coming out of the backfield. He was going to throw it to him in the flat, but Gavin Spangler had him picked up, was going to just light him up, and the quarterback did everybody a favor and just sailed it.
Yeah, just sailed that out there. It's going to be incomplete. Now we're going to see Evangel looking for three.
Jonah Edwards is in. He's a 5'10 sophomore from Tulsa. He's not kicked a lot of field goals. He's 2-4. His long is 42. This is going to be from 38. From the right hash mark for Edwards, it is down and up, and that thing looks like something I would have done, and that's not a compliment. It was short. It was wide. It was not anywhere near close.
So for Evangel, that's going to take some air out of the sail, right? You moved the ball really well to start the second half. You get down there, then you miss what would have been a touchdown pass. You get set up for a field goal, you miss it, and you come away with nothing after that possession.
And now, Gus, we'll see what the Benedictine offense has put together at intermission. It'll be our first chance to look at them here in the second half. The defense bent and bit, but ultimately gives up no points, and the Ravens continue to lead in this game 7-0 at 11:58 to go. So that was a 3-minute possession that came up with no points for Evangel. Quarterback Garrett Kittle has a single man to the backfield. That's going to be Rayshon. He will get the handoff. Rayshon bounces outside to the 20. Looking to break a tackle. Cannot. That was well done by Athene Laverafon. He was just great. If you're drawing up how to tackle, that is exactly how you just sketched it.
You know, we always talk about, more so in basketball than football, if there's a player that, you know, every team in the conference would like to have, Laverafon is that guy for Evangel.
Second down and, let's call it six for Benedictine. Raymond's at their own 25-yard line. And again, Garrett taking his time, looks to his left, goes back a step. His pass should have been picked off as he was going over to Jacob Gathright. And Gus, that pass took forever to float over there, and Brody Patterson was closing the gap. Had he been playing the ball a little bit more, he would have stolen that and gone in for a score.
Yeah, and that time you talk about a guy who's a freshman out there, and he was really more so just looking to hit the receiver, but Garrett Kettle left that ball in the air for a long time.
Benedictine now, third down, six at their own 25. And the Ravens are going to bring Damon Wiggin into the backfield. The 5'9 senior from San Marcos, California, will shift over to the right side. Motion will go to the left, and the Ravens have no wide receivers, kind of a double-wing offense. QB is going to take it on the draw, go to the right side. Kettle will pick up a first down. And, Gus, if you didn't know he was going to run, you have not watched any film.
Yeah, they cleared out the backfield, and you may just think that, well, there's a possibility they don't, but Garrett picking up the first down. Bradley Myers, the leading tackler, was able to push him out of bounds.
Bradley Myers is the defensive player of the week from last week in the conference. Now, Kettle is back to throw, running, now rolling, now going to go left, heads for the edge, cuts back into the middle, and is tackled by three defenders. All of that running, all of that work, 2 yards, and Peyton Ross was able to deliver the tackling shot.
Yeah, he was the first guy out there able to slow up Garrett Kettle, and for Kettle, did a lot of running, picks up a yard. It'll bring up second and 9 for the Raven offense, 10:25 left here in the third quarter.
Garrett Kettle is a quarterback. He is a good runner. He is not a particularly fast runner. I mean, he doesn't do anything special. He's not going to outrun anybody. He's not going to shake anybody, but he's a solid runner, and Ravens use him for that a lot. Second down, 9. Back to throw. Kettle flushed out of the pocket. He's going to just throw this one away and into the Benedictine sideline. For just a minute, Gus, I thought he was going to get it into the hands of Tanner Nelson out of Park Hill High School, the sophomore offensive lineman here on the sideline.
Well, that time, again, it was Peyton Ross on the pressure for Evangel. And right now, he's doing a good job of getting after quarterback Garrett Kettle. And you kind of wonder if in this early going of the second half, he's not spying Kettle a little bit to try to keep him honest and keep him in the pocket.
And if that's the case, then you have to be willing to use that against him in your play calling as we move along here. Third down, 9, Ravens. Kettle with a hard count. Nobody moves. Turns around. Now resets it. Back to throw. Fires a bullet over the middle, and again it should have been picked. That was just a rocket. Uncatchable by his intended receiver, Jayshon Todd. And again, it glances off Athene Laverathon. And Gus, he should have picked that off. That is, what, 4 or 5 balls that have been touched and should have been picked off today?
Well, and you talk about Evangel. They're a team who typically is able to take those away. They've got 15 interceptions coming into the game, but today they've not been able to hold on to the ball.
Low snap, but the kick away by Colin Bruner. What a bounce to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, to the 4, to the 3-yard line, rolling to the 2-yard line, and down.
You see the guy go
two all the way to the 1-yard line, and this to the 2-yard line right now, okay? I don't care what anybody out there says. Colin Bruner is my MVP today.
Yeah, I mean, he's been able to set Evangel up with long fields all day, and then I don't know if you saw the player go sliding in. That was a punter, right? Like, Bruner ran all the way down there and then went into a baseball slide as the ball is downed at the 2-yard line. A fantastic punt right there for the punter. Now, again, you know my problem with punters? I like to have them. I just don't like to see them on the field, right?
On a good day, you can't even tell me his number, right? First and 10, Valor from their own 2-yard line. Benedictine leading at 7-0, and we're at 9:20 to go. Here's a pass out of the end zone, taken at the 6-yard line. That was a hard 3 yards picked up, and a pass over to the right side into the hands of Devin Mosley. Gus, Devin's a freshman out of a place you've been to, Mansfield, Texas.
Have I?
Yeah, it's just south of Fort Worth and just beyond Burleson, if you know where that's at.
Yeah.
Just right down there. Second down for Evangel, just outside their own 5-yard line. Running back is in the backfield. Quarterback is standing on the goal line where he takes a snap. Now fires a pass over the middle. It's going to be caught at the 20-yard line. First and 10, Crusaders, as he'll advance the sticks on a catch by Dylan Hester. Jackson Hoskins with the coverage of Dylan Hester, because he's third in the conference receiving yards, averaging 86.3. He's third in receiving touchdowns in the conference with seven, and he's a good one. First and 10, Evangel at its own 21-yard line. They've gotten away from their own goal line. Hand off to the running back, bounces outside. Boy, he had no chance. Not one, but two defenders. Spangler, the second guy, he was slowed up just a little bit as he got to the edge by Javi Blomquist, and then Spangler just mowed him down like a bowling ball.
Also good to see Jack Young out there for the Ravens, junior defensive end out of Blue Valley Northwest.
Crusaders with a second and 9 at their own 22-yard line. Last week against Mid-America, this Evangel team ran 74 plays for 354 yards, almost an even split, 185 rushing, 169 passing. QB's back to throw again, looking over the middle, and it's behind his intended receiver, Andrew Holden, and incomplete. Those are the high-risk kind of a pass when you're behind your guy. Lamont Schomburger was the coverage man for Benedictine, the freshman, but if you're a quarterback and you're throwing behind your receivers, you're begging to give the ball to the other team.
Yeah, especially with Benedictine and Evangel. Both these teams are so good at taking the ball away. We talked about Evangel's 15 interceptions, but the Ravens have 15 interceptions this season.
Fondangala back into the lineup for the Ravens on his third down, 9, call it to 22. Evangel with the ball, trailing Benedictine 7-0. QB with a three-step drop, back to throw, now goes over the middle, and it's going to be broken up at the 30-yard line. Kyle Rowland, he went airborne, reached around, and slapped it away without touching the intended receiver, Devin Mosley. That was a really outstanding coverage play.
Yeah, this possession started at their own 2. They were able to get up to the 22, but they're going to fizzle out right there, and Evangel is going to bring their punt unit back out. This will be the 6th punt of the day.
Jay Sean's going to be settling in at his own 40-yard line for the return. We have yet to have that big play for either team, right? That explosive play, that long play, that big game-turning play. Well, here's a punt, not deep, end over end, and it is going to take, for the first time, it will take a Raven bounce off the toe of an Evangel kicker, and Benedictine, great field position. They're going to have it around the Valor 40-yard line, Crusader. What's the matter with me? From the Evangel 40-yard line, Benedictine will begin this series. And, again, Gus, maybe the biggest plays in the game have been the play of the two punters. And that one, for Benedictine, very positive that time, kind of a negative play by the Evangel punter, Ryan Connor. Back to throw is going to be Kendall, first down, and he wants it all. He's got his man in the end zone, and it's over him. Incomplete, threw too hard.
Yeah, that time he just got a little too much behind it. That wind behind him probably didn't help any, and he was looking for Buteau. Austin lays out, but just not able to haul it in. It'll bring up 2nd and 10 now for the Raven offense. Buteau will check out, and back in comes Gathright.
Run that play one more time, and it's a touchdown. 2nd down at the 40-yard line. Kettle with the running back on his left hand. Will keep it himself. Goes to the left. Gets to the 40, to the 35. Garrett to the 30. Goes feet first. Picking up a 1st down on a 12-yard gain. Garrett Kettle with the run and 1st and 10.
Give a lot of credit to Garrett, but more credit should go to Reed Levi, the big tight end right there. Was able to steal the corner, give a nice running lane out there, and Ravens picking up a 1st down.
Gus, a lot of games going on. You talked about not only around the conference, but around the nation. And, you know, I am told that Kaiser University has fans in the local area now, complete with Seahawks gear. Here's a feed into the right side, and it'll get to the line of scrimmage and no more.
Bradley Myers, the leading tackler for Evangel, makes the stop on the play. It'll bring up now a 2nd down for the Raven offense. They're going to give him 2. It's called 2nd and 8.
Benedictine to the 28-yard line of Evangel, leading 7-0. 6:45 to go in the 3rd quarter. When was the last time we saw 7 points over midway through the 3rd quarter? I mean, 7 total points. That is absolutely a throwback. Kettle will swing it over to the left side. It'll be caught at the 25, and Reed Levi skips and hops and works down the edge inside the 20 to the 19.
Last time we saw a score like this had to be, what, 2 years ago at Central Methodist?
Maybe.
Right? That was the game where, you know, we didn't see a pass in the second half, and Ravens won it like 10-6 or something.
Did A. Benedict had one quarterback, and his arm was hurt, so all he could do was hand off all day?
Yeah.
First and 10. Ravens threatening. And with the win behind them, they are likely in field goal range. And wouldn't a two-score lead make Benedict fans a little bit more comfortable?
I'm not sure with the way Evangel's offense is playing a one-score game isn't out of reach.
BC goes with the reverse. The pitch wasn't good, but it's going to be hauled in and sweeping around to the left side, Jayshon Todd. Because that pitch was awful. Jayshon did a great job of reaching out, kind of finding it, and then by the time he secures it, the defense kind of figured out what was happening, and it was just a foot race to the edge. But even in a foot race to the edge, Jayshon will win that pickup six.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because that pitch ended up somewhere around Jayshon's ear, but he was able to catch it. Pick up 6 yards. They'll bring up a second and four at the 6:01 mark of the second quarter.
LeBron Jackson, wide right, Perrott, and Buteau will round out the trio to the right side. Quarterback is back. Fires one in the middle. That is going to be Perrott. He's right at the first down marker. They're going to give it to him at the 9. First and goal, Benedict. And
Ethan is a guy who we're seeing a little more out of each week, right? And it kind of happened against Missouri Valley. Got in there, didn't have a whole lot going on. But last week, the big catch. Today, we're seeing the Ravens put some confidence in him. And right now, he's really starting to step up for this wide receiving corps.
First and goal. Here come the Ravens at the 9-yard line. Only two receivers out. The handoff is going to go to right. Rayshon, he's at the 5. He's at the 3, 2, and dives for the pylon. Does not get in. Second and goal with the 1. Way inside the 1.
That time, Evangel did a good job of stringing that thing to the sideline. Cale Orchard able to make the stop on the play. But the Ravens are going to be, half a length out. So it'll be second and goal.
Okay, for Benedictine and Raven head coach Joel Osborne, the only question on this second and goal play is who do you hand the ball to? Who do you want to score the touchdown? Who is going to carry it in and put Benedictine up by 2 scores?
Or they're going to bring 3 tight ends in.
Quarterback Garrett Kettle is under the center. Will he just power it ahead? Will he give it over to Rayshon? It will be Garrett keeps it, tucks it, leans it, scores it. Touchdown, Ravens! Garrett Kittle took a half step to the right side and leaned in. Behind, Raymond Escobedo, Rashawn Beckham, and Chim Okrafor, and the Ravens stretch their lead now to 13-0.
So Garrett Kittle now with 2 touchdown rushes today, and Benedictine leads 13-0.
That is a big score. I mean, when you lead by 1 score, it's good. It's almost good to be ahead. But it's not a safe score or safe kind of a lead because you are 1 play from the opponent tying you. Here's a PAT. It was a little stutter step in there by Harry, but he gets it up and he gets it through anyway. And where's Joseph taking a timeout? Ravens stretch their lead at 5:16 to go in the third quarter. Now Benedictine 14, Evangel nothing.
Taco John's has a new value menu. Their value-est menu brings in premium ingredients like bacon and guac without the premium price. With options starting at just $1, you won't find value like that anywhere else. Chicken Bacon Ranch Loaded Potato Olays, just $3. Chicken Bacon Guac Street Tacos, just $2. Chicken Snack Quesadillas, just $1. Find these deals and more and an open lobby at Taco John's in Atchison. Taco John's, bigger, bolder, better.
Farming, it's more than just a job. Farmers dedicate their lives every day to the land and the community that surrounds it. Exchange Bank recognizes and appreciates their hard work. We are dedicated to helping with your agricultural needs. We can assist you with loans to keep your farm operating and for expansion. Our team at Exchange Bank is here for the long haul. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
With us here in Atchison as the Benedictine kick is away and return man because he is stopped fast by Josh Morris. We haven't said anything about Josh much today. The Evangel passing game has not tested that Ravens secondary much. First and 10. Here comes the Valor offense. And if you're Evangelo, you got to do something here pretty soon. Now, you've not been able to score through nearly three quarters, and here's a pass that is going to be broken up. It was a little bit short and a little bit low, and Dylan Hester made a great effort, but he just couldn't come down with that thing. Second and 10. So, again, if you're Evangel, you've not been able to put a point on the board. You haven't really threatened much, actually today. And now with, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, you still have nothing on the board. You're going to have to change things or you're not going to win this game.
Yeah, you're going to have to start stretching the field, trying to do something, because right now those underneath plays are not going to work for you. You got to get a couple scores, and your defense is going to have to hold Benedictine at bay.
Wakely will lob one down the left side and throw it into his team's sideline incomplete because he had no open receivers. And I'm looking out there, I'm seeing five Benedictine coverage guys 15 to 18 yards downfield, and the coverage was just really, really, really good. Checking in now for the Ravens, Joel Mavis. Joel, one of several players Benedictine has out of Katy, Texas. Quarterback Wakely has a running back, Nyuma, behind him. Motion will go to the right side, so they're going to overload the wide side. Handoff is going to be, no, quarterback's going to keep it, make the throw. It's juggled, it's bobbled, it's dropped. And you know why? Because you knew if you caught that ball, Josh Morris is just going to put the hit on you.
Yeah, that time they set up a little screen pass right there, and Morris had it sniffed out from the very beginning. And now Evangel set to punt.
Here's the thing. We've seen this several times. You particularly noticed a minute ago and described very well how the Ravens saw something in an offensive lineman, made an adjustment, thwarted a play. It is very apparent that this Benedictine defense has studied this Evangel team and knows them very well, and as a result, they've got them shut out right now. Here's the punt away. It is high. Are they going to call a fair catch? Yeah. At the 44-yard line, the Ravens, again, are going to have great field position, but because the BC offense has scored twice, but that Raven defense has been, they've just been absolutely fantastic today.
Yeah, the Raven defense has been lights out this afternoon. And if you look at what the offense has done, you say, well, you find yourself up a couple scores. But for Benedictine, this is going to be their 10th possession of the afternoon. You got two touchdowns to show for it.
There you go. Ravens on a kettle touchdown and a kettle touchdown so far today. 1 of 4 yards and 1 of 1. Back to throw is Garrett, and he's sailing deep. He's looking for Gathright, and he's got him at the 10-yard line. That is a 46-yard strike. Kettle to Gathright.
Yeah, Jacob Gathright is just a game changer, right? He averages right at 24 yards, 23.8, I think is what it is, per catch this season. And for Jacob, just lays out, makes a spectacular catch. And for him, it'll be four catches on the day for, just under 60 yards.
And Evangel has spent its afternoon stopping that play, trying to stop that play. Ravens got one downfield on them there. First and goal at the 10. Benedictine looking for quick back-to-back scores. Quarterback will keep it and going straight ahead looking for his third touchdown of the afternoon. It's a 2-yard carry for Garrett Kettle. And Will and I with the tackle. Will is at a Kickapoo High School, Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, Will is a guy who, 5'10", 293 pounds, also has an older or a younger brother on the team, CJ, who's 6'1", 310 pounds sophomore.
Second and goal, Benedictine, now around the 8-yard line. Garrett is going to shift Reed Levi to a wing spot on the left side, go with the motion, play action, back to throw, fires into the motion man, and again, it took way too long, and making the catch, Jay Sean, but he gets over to the 5-yard line.
Well, the problem was you didn't lead him downfield at all. He had to spin around and catch that behind him and then turn it back upfield. Able to get it down to, they're going to mark it about the 6-yard line. It'll be third and goal from there. The Ravens are going to go to the side, and they're going to bring Tanner Zimmerman back in.
On the right side of Kettle is going to be Rayshon Mills. Benedictine on a third and goal now, just outside the 5-yard line. Are they at 4-down territory? Not necessarily.
Wouldn't necessarily.
We'll see what happens here. Here's a handoff, and Rayshon will go to the three. Now are they in four-down territory? It's fourth and goal, 3 yards out.
Nope.
Going to kick it?
Take the point. They're going to bring kicker Harriet Balky into the ballgame.
So Harry will come in, and Ravens are going to bring in a handful of other specialists on this team, and it includes guys like Tyler Wilson. You know, he's going to be the guy kind of sealing off the edge, making sure nobody comes around the outside.
Yeah, so your ends are going to be Zimmerman and Wilson. You look for guys that can block, but also guys that could tackle if needed.
From the left hash mark, it is down, it is up, it is good. Joseph, we're taking a timeout as Benedictine extends its lead here at 2:17 to play in the third quarter. It's Benedictine 17, Evangel nothing.
Atchison Auto Parts, your independent Napa dealer, locally owned and operated. Stop by and see faces you recognize that have been in the business for over 50 years combined. They're all car guys who care about getting you the right part for your passenger vehicle or heavy-duty parts for the big trucks. They've extended their hours to better serve you. Now open 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Subway makes it their priority to serve you the delicious meals you love in the easiest, safest ways possible. Order in-store, online, or through the Subway app for carryout service. And with so many sandwich and salad options, everyone in the family will be happy. Check out their fresh melts, signature wraps, no bready bowls, and amazing salads. At Subway, under the 5th Street Viaduct in Atchison.
As we return, the Benedictine kick is away. It's taken on the goal line. Here comes Dylan Hester. He'll bring it up the right side, get across the 15, and he is down at the 18-yard line. Again, Gus, Dylan Hester, a great kick return guy, but BC has done a nice job of kind of having his number here today, and they have not let him get away with much. So Hester will bring the ball out to the 17, and if you're Evangel, are you scratching your head a little bit trying to figure out what have I got to do to get some yardage and, more importantly, some points right now because Ravens with them shut out?
Yeah, I mean, at some point you're just going to have to start getting a little riskier.
Well, that was risky as the quarterback was rolling to the right, being chased out of the pocket, throws it over here and into the Raven coaching staff. It goes incomplete. He was just chucking that ball and getting it out of his hands. Second down, 10. We're down to just over 2 minutes to play in the third quarter. 17-0 Benedictine. And, you know, you look at Evangel. What have they done? What do they need to do? Total yards, 143 for Evangel today. Benedictine has twice that. Here's a pass to the left side, and it is thrown way behind his intended receiver. That was Hester. Hester guarded over there for the Ravens by Joel Mavis, and it's going to bring up a third down.
And see,
last thing that Evangel wants to do is go a quick three and out, right?
Well, and that's the problem right now for Evangel is that they find themselves having to do something to speed this game up a little bit. But, again, if you don't get it, a quick turnover is that double-edged sword.
Wakely, the quarterback, back to throw again, rolling right, throwing on the run, and I think he caught that out of bounds. He did, and for Evangel, because that possession took way under a minute. A minute 56 still to play in the quarter. That field goal was at, 2:17?
17, yep.
So we've got 17-4, 21-second possession. That's bad.
Yeah, and so now here's where you find yourself in real trouble because,
yep.
Again, Benedictine probably comes down, they score a touchdown, you go down 24 points, and this thing is, you know, going to spiral out of control in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, a game that was super, super close at halftime could turn into a boat race pretty easily. Benedictine's going to get this ball in great field position, their return man. Settling in at the 45-yard line. Snap back. Blocked! It's blocked at the 5. It's spinning around the rim. Picking up at the 10. Down to the 5. Headed for the goal line. Did he get in? He does not. At the 1-yard line. What a job by the Benedictine punt coverage team to get back there.
Okay, so 40 blocks it. So getting back there for the Ravens is going to be Blake Dapkus, the freshman defensive back out of Ashland, Missouri, and on the recovery, who caught it out of the air, Harry O'Neill.
Terry. This is the worst possible nightmare for this Evangel Valor team. Finding the Ravens coming back, scoring touchdowns on back-to-back possessions, taking 20 seconds off the clock in your own possession, going to have to put the ball away, and then they block it and have it at your one. Wow. Ravens knocking on the door. Now who does Coach Osborne want to score? Because that was a circumstance a minute ago. You know they're going in. And the question is, who do you want to give this touchdown to?
Well, none of the officials stop in play for a moment. I'm not really sure. Oh, see any flags on the field? And I don't see any real reason to stop the play.
17 to nothing. Benedictine with a minute 48 to go in the third quarter here. We've got more sports coming up on CARE. Hold on. Let's see what he's got to say about this.
Please set the play clock to 11 seconds.
It's not really going to make much of a difference.
Can't imagine.
It's like when they set the shot clock back down, and you're like, yeah, we haven't used it all night, but okay.
Okay, let's see what Benedictine does as quarterback. Garrett Kettle's got two touchdowns already. Puts the guy in motion, wing to the right. He will turn, hand it off. Rayshon, touchdown Ravens. Rayshon Mills goes in for Benedictine's third TD this afternoon. And they continue to expand their lead on Evangel, now leading them 23 to nothing.
Yeah, nice job right there by Rayshon, just following the blocking up the middle. And the Ravens, talked about a second ago, when you have a 24-second possession, Benedictine comes down and scores. All of a sudden, this thing is going to look like it was a runaway when, really, Evangel was in this thing for quite a while.
The PAT coming up for Harry. Down, up, and it's no good. May have been touched, and we've got a timeout. Timeout of the field with a minute 44 to go in the third quarter. Ravens putting together a lead. It's Benedictine 23, Evangel nothing.
Hundley Liquor is your hometown liquor store with everything you can imagine. Whether you're in the mood to finish a great day by kicking back and drinking a domestic or imported beer, or maybe even a fine wine to pair with your dinner tonight, whatever your need, look no further. Hundley Liquor at 119 South 9th Street has got it. Beer, wine, spirits. Hundley Liquor, hometown friendly, hometown helpful in Atchison.
A wise investor once said, "The stock market is filled with individuals who know the price of everything, but the value of nothing." At Cottle Financial Group, we are committed to giving you the information you'll need to know the difference between value and price. Whether you need a second opinion on your portfolio or you have a rollover you need help with, give us a call to learn more at 367-2700, 367-2700. Registered representative of and securities offered through Berthel Fisher & Company Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC.
Benedictine kick is away and well into the end zone, kicks out the back, and for the Valor, it'll be first and 10. All right, Gus, gut check time for the Valor right here. How they come out on this position in the late going of the third quarter, trailing at 23 to nothing, is going to tell you all you need to know about this team. How do you respond here?
I think we've already had that gut check, and I think we're past that, right?
Maybe. We're going to find out for sure. We'll know here. Quarterback is going to be in the pistol, and he's back to throw with some time over the middle, and is tipped and nearly picked off. Raven coverage downfield was quite good. Four receivers just going straight down at Tyler Wilson. What's he doing back there?
Your defensive end had dropped about 20 yards downfield, trying to, I think, just confuse R.J. Wakely, and that time the ball.
I'm not sure about R.J. I couldn't figure it out.
Time the ball falls incomplete, it's going to bring up a second and 10. But again, with an incomplete pass, they'll stop the clock with a minute 39 left.
You remember their last possession took, 21 seconds? Quarterback rolling left, throwing left, has his man, and he will break away from a defender and pick up a first down, finding the stick and getting out of bounds at the 36. That was a nice little spin move after the catch, and Crusaders will advance the chains. A minute 23 to go in the third. Talking about a moment ago before that flurry of activity, tonight's schedule on CARE Radio, we've got basketball coming up here in a little bit, huh? Going to run down to the Nolan, the Benedictine men at 5, ladies at 7. Going to be a quarterback draw now, and that was a bad idea for R.J. Wakely because his offensive line had not sealed up at all, and BC was right in the middle of it. It looked like maybe Dwayne Lacy making that tackle.
Yep, Dwayne Lacy doing a great job getting into the backfield along with Tyler Wilson. The 5 o'clock game for the men is Friday against Southwestern.
Great. Maybe.
How far is Springfield to Winfield?
Not that far. I bet it's an hour and a half, maybe, something like that. Quarterback rolling left, throwing deep, and it's going to go way out of bounds. There's no catching that one. Stopping the clock. Half a minute to go in the third. And Crusaders will look now at a third down 12 from their own 34-yard line. Coming into the game today, Evangel on a four-game winning streak, 3-0 in the South Division of the conference. And Benedictine looking to get their ninth W today if they could hang on to this. How far is it? 340 across there? Can't believe it takes that long. Here's a pass right side, and bleeping catch is made out of bounds.
Nope, they're going to say, yeah. That time, a nice job by DJ White to go up, but by the time he came down with it, he was out of bounds working over there against Jackson Hoskins. It'll be a fourth down here.
Here's a tough call about that play. When you make a call like that, and the quarterback is on the left side of the field, your receiver's on the right side of the field. I mean, not only are you having to get 10 or 12 yards downfield to pick up the first down, but you've thrown it 50 yards across field. I mean, that's a long pass to gain little.
So, for Evangel, they're going to punt the ball for the ninth time this afternoon. They have 241 punting yards.
Yeah, see, that's why Ryan Connor is setting all these records for his team, because he is getting a lot of work. Snap is beautiful. The punt is away this time. It is short, end over end. Bounces at the 40, takes a Raven bounce up to their own 42, and Benedictine, with 15 seconds left, is going to get one more play here in the third quarter. Third quarter today has been a very good one for the Ravens.
It's been a long one in the sense of what we've seen all afternoon, right?
Yeah, it has. This quarter has taken longer here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison. This quarter has taken longer than the first half took. Is that fair?
Yeah. Joseph will probably tell us that, you know, it's close or we're probably wrong, but this third quarter has been good for the Ravens. They've had four possessions, two touchdowns, and a field goal.
Garrett Kettle's back to throw on a first down, and he's going deep, and he's in double coverage, and Gathright has two guys, one in each hip pocket, and the pass is incomplete, and that was a long throw downfield.
Yeah, and can I tell you, for a second, I thought even though he was in double coverage, I thought Gathright was going to be able to come away with that pass, right? He had kind of veered away from the coverage, and it's going to fall incomplete. It'll bring up a second and 10, which should be the final play here of the third quarter.
7 seconds left in the third. Ravens on a second down and 10 at their own 41-yard line. Senior quarterback Garrett Kettle, little wraparound handoff, will pull it back, take it himself, and will be tackled after little gain, and that is the end of three. We'll be back here in Atchison, Kansas, Wilcox Stadium, bringing you the fourth quarter of today's Benedictine game. As we go to the fourth, Ravens 23, Evangel nothing.
Millions of Americans suffer from hernias each year, but only a small percentage seek medical attention. Hernias can become extremely painful and cause major health complications. The only way to fix a hernia is with surgery. Amberwell General Surgeon Dr. Roderick Warren is an expert in hernia repair and uses advanced techniques at both Amberwell Atchison and Amberwell Hiawatha. If you think you might have a hernia, contact Dr. Warren's office at 913-367-6682 to request a consultation.
Get your tan on at Snap Fitness. You don't have to be a Snap Fitness member to take advantage of their great tanning deals. With three tanning beds, appointments are available from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Monday through Thursdays and 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. Call them at 913-367-1511 to schedule. Get your tan on at Snap Fitness, 409 Commercial in Atchison.
Crowd on hand here in Atchison this afternoon. A beautiful, sunny, sunny day after a very rainy past 38, 48 hours, something like that. 54 degrees now as the temperature continues to skyrocket, feeling like 49 outside. This is the maximum it's going to reach today, but it turned into a nice day. A nice breeze from the south has continued to, you know, to maintain its velocity through the course of the day.
And the answer is yes, the iguanas would still be pulling out the trees.
They would be. Yeah, they don't do this very well. First, they're at a third. Third and 10, Benedictine. Garrett, looking. Now we'll throw out of bounds and incomplete. So the Ravens are going to be punting this thing away to begin basically the fourth quarter. It'll be fourth and 10. Any other stuff? That's about most of it.
So for the Ravens, this will be their seventh punt of the afternoon. And back deep, Dylan Hester to return this punt.
Hester's been really, really good. We've talked about him all season long. One of the best return men in this conference. Silligan at his own 30-yard line. And kicking into the wind, Benedictine's Cullen Bruner. Punting game has been a big difference maker in this one here today. And Bruner gets off a nice kick. Hester goes back. Bear catches it at his own 32-yard line. We'll see the valor from there, their own 32, first and 10. Gus, did you satisfactorily answer our listeners' quiz what a valor is? Do you think you got that responded to well enough?
You can go to the website. They have a whole write-up on it. It's like three pages of what a valor is.
There you go.
In case you're interested.
If you wanted to know. If you have to know. That'll teach him.
Yep. First and 10 for Evangel. Now they're going to just spread it out a little bit. You're going to have two receivers to the right, one to the left, an offset running back in the backfield. So the quarterback, R.J. Wakely, takes a snap. He drops back, looks to the left. Now he's going to fire one deep. He's got a man. It's caught in stride at the 40, 35, 30, and bounced out of bounds around, I'm going to say, the 20, 19. So they're going to say inside the 20 to the 19. What a job right there for Evangel, and that is their biggest play of the day. Michael Murray with the reception, 34 catches coming into today's game.
And Evangel, for the first time in a long time, actually threatening here. Inside the 20-yard line, first down. QB's back, throws it across the middle, and it is broken up. Tried to go to Devin Mosley, and Mosley got hit really hard.
Ooh.
Yeah. You heard the crowd outside kind of groan and moan, and they're not groaning and moaning anymore. That Devin is moaning.
Now the Ravens defensive back who made that hit, he walks a couple steps and he's going to hit a knee. He's a little sore after that one.
The Evangel training staff mostly walks off. Now the Evangel training staff's looking at him and he's cradling his right arm and shoulder a little bit. And he's doing his very best to convince everybody that he's fine, but not sure that that's the case.
Oh, let's just see real quick, refresh our page, and find games going on around the conference today. Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
Mid-America beats Missouri Valley today, 49-42.
Yow.
So Mid-America continues to score a lot of points.
We're going
to
see them next week. We'll find out what they're all about.
At the end of three quarters, Grandview leads Culver Stockton 40-0. Early fourth quarter, Clark leading Penn 3-0. Baker is starting to pull away from Central Methodist. Baker leading 28-0 at the start of the fourth quarter there. And Peru State leads Graceland 20-19, 7.5 minutes left in the third quarter of that contest.
They continue to look at players out there, guys. How about the, you know, this Evangel defense? Ravens have been able to put some points up, but their defense has been one of the top in the conference. They're averaging, giving up 16.8 per game, and they've also, coming into the game today, 15 interceptions, and so far today they've given up to Benedictine 23 points and have not yet taken the ball away. Now, Raymond Player is up and on his feet and seems to be trotting off the field, may have just had a little wind knocked out of him or something.
But if you look over there for Evangel's defensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator this season is going to be Jeremy DeSoto. He's got to be saying, hey, guys, I'm doing my part, right? You've kept Benedictine held down to 23 points right now. The offense just not helping you out.
Second down 10. at the Benedictine 20. Evangel with the ball. Quarterback is back, going into the end zone, and there's absolutely no one anywhere near that ball for either team.
Lamont, I mean, might have been the closest.
So it'll bring up now for the Crusaders, Terthy Fowler, a 3rd and 10 at the 19-yard line. I went through the first, like, three quarters with hardly a slip. And now we'll struggle a little bit.
I bet if I threw you on the spot,
yeah.
I bet you couldn't name either of their basketball coaches at the moment.
No.
Right?
No, because they both
and they were forever.
Turnover there is it's something very unusual for them. QB's back to throw on a 3rd down 5, and he's going to run, and he's going to get a 1st down, and he's going to get more down to the 5-yard line, down to the 3-yard line goes R.J. Wakely. He was looking to throw, and then suddenly the middle just opened up wide.
Yeah, and he realized that I could probably take this in the end zone. They're going to say he's just shy. They're going to mark him down at the 3-yard line. Benedictine trying to shuffle players in and out. Evangel up over the football.
Ravens bringing in that jumbo package here, and it looks like they're going to be off. They made it. The handoff to the running back, dances right, tries to go in, can't. Ravens stop him at the 2, a pickup of a single yard. It'll bring up a 2nd to go.
Yeah, and that time Gavin Spangler back there in a hurry, and he was able to force the running back to get a little off balance, and then the Ravens kind of cleaned it up afterwards. Now the Ravens have a player that's a little slow to get up.
So is this a timeout taken, a charge, or is this an official timeout?
Yeah, this is an official timeout.
See, well, the Ravens have stayed out on the field over the football, and now we see the Valor all running over to the sideline. Somebody's got to get charged with something here, right?
Well, no, they're going to make that player that was slow to get up, they're going to make him come off the field. They're now telling Evangel, hey, you're up, and Benedictine going to bring Eric Chavez into the ballgame, a 6'3 sophomore out of Lancaster,
and they just
California.
Just now starting that play clock. It is going to be a 2nd of goal from about 3 yards out. QB play action, rolls right, throws right, got a man, and he drops it with no one in front of him. That ball was dropped by Evangel's receiver over there. That's not the Justin Houston I know.
No, that one's going to be actually Eric Williams, that freshman running back out of Irving, Texas. He catches the ball like somebody in Irving, Texas.
The guy's in Irving. You love him. 3rd down and goal, Evangel. They're 4 down turf, right? Come on, they don't need a field goal here. Trips, or another 2 to the left and now 2 to the right. They got a big tight end goes swinging way out there. That's an interesting look.
They're going to run draw, right?
Yep. Yeah. And the quarterback will walk into the end zone untouched.
There was so much motion going on that it really gave it away that it had to be draw, especially when they took that tight end and moved him way outside the numbers. It was like they're just trying to pull everybody out of the box.
All right, but if that guy goes in motion, and the guy does not, the coverage man does not leave the box, and he stays in there, and he's going to be pretty much unguarded to stop that draw. Is a quarterback supposed to be smart enough to realize that and then throw it out there?
Right, yeah.
That's the plan. Here's your PAT for the first time today for Evangel. It's going to be up and good, and we got a timeout of the field, and the Valor is now on the board. 13:09 to go in the ballgame. Benedictine 23, Evangel 7.
The new Fall Blizzard Treat menu is at Atchison Dairy Queen Grill and Chill, and it's got all the fall, featuring returning favorites like pumpkin pie and new flavors like cinnamon roll setters, Reese's Take 5, Snickers Brownie, and more. This may be the fallest Fall Blizzard Treat menu lineup of all time, and it's all blended together in delicious, world-famous DQ soft serve. Try all the flavors at Dairy Queen Grill and Chill in Atchison.
Lewis Chevrolet Buick is your trusted Buick Chevrolet dealership in Atchison, and the reason why their loyal customers keep coming back. From the time you enter the showroom or service center, you can expect to be treated like family each and every visit. Lewis Chevrolet Buick, dedicated to providing exceptional customer service and being an integral part of the Atchison community. See them at 314 Woodlawn.
Taken by Jayshon at the 2. Rolls up the right side to the 25. Jayshon at the 35. Jayshon at the 45. Jayshon at the 50. And hurdles into Valor territory where the kicker, Jonah Edwards, because he may have just stopped a 98-yard kickoff return.
Yeah, it looked like Jonah
was going to have to be the guy to stop Jay Sean, and he does, right? The Ravens are going to get her across midfield. They're going to mark this thing down. Coach Osborne over there having some words with the officials right at the spot of the football. We're going to mark this down at the, what, the Valor 44?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. And here's what you learn from a great return like that from, you know, one of the fastest guys in the conference. Okay, you learn that you don't have to be fast on that return. You see, he slow walked it up. He let some blocking develop. He read the running lanes and took that path of least resistance. Nicely done. Jay Sean, 41-plus yards on his kick returns. That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good average.
That's
okay.
Pretty good. First and 10, Benedict, then at the Evangel 44. Hand off, no, quarterback will keep it. Booting to the right side and grabbed from behind and drug down. Garrett Kittle for no gain. Garrett comes up trying to square up the helmet a little bit, and game clock rolling with 12:40 to go this afternoon. Now we got a marker just thrown on the near side. What happened over here? Line judge just threw a flag, I think.
I'm going to guess it's a sideline warning kind of a thing.
Yeah. You see Coach Osborne coming up, and it seems like he's cautioning someone over there.
Personal foul, horse collar.
What?
Defense, number 10. The run, first down.
Okay.
That is not at all what I thought that
well,
was.
Well, we talked about when he was being tackled that he was fixing the headgear and straightening himself back up because he was pulled down from behind, but I wasn't sure if he had reached in, that he, the defender, had reached in and gotten a hold of Garrett's shoulder pads on the inside or just what exactly had gone on there. But the official knows what happened. They call it the horse collar tackle. It'll go down to the 29-yard line, first and 10.
I can't tell you, I'm not really sure what Chuck is asking about at this point because, like, a horse collar is a horse collar, right? It's not a block in the back. It's not a holding. You know, what did you see? It's, I saw the guy reach inside the shoulder pads and pull him down. That's what he saw.
Yeah, headlinesman and referee are both over there visiting with Valor head coach Chuck Heppala, who's out of the 40-yard line, out of the numbers, and having a somewhat animated discussion right now. Basketball coming up tonight on Kent Radio, the Benedictine Ravens and Southwestern out of the KCAC, the future conference for Evangel. They'll be up here in the Nolan at 5 o'clock. We'll have that one, and then the Benedictine Ladies with Manhattan Christian at 7. So, we got more games coming your way here tonight. Hang on. Joseph, brew up an extra pot of coffee. First and 10 of the 29. Garrett looks to the near side, and now we got a marker down along the line. Somebody moves.
Full start. Offense, 77. 5-yard penalty, first down.
If you're 6'4", about 300 pounds, and you're out there by yourself, they're going to see you pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So a penalty against the Ravens, and how about this? At the end of the first quarter in Lawrence, Hawks 10, Cowboys nothing.
There you go. Here's a little handoff into the middle and a tackle for a loss. Wow, Drayshon, he was swamped. And it's going to be back at the 36-yard line.
Zach Myers makes the stop right there for Benedictine, or excuse me, for Evangel. And Benedictine now looking at a... what, second and 17?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now into the ballgame, we're going to see Dalton Witherspoon at the running back.
Dalton, one of the many freshmen that this Benedictine team has been playing this year. He will take this handoff, cut to the right, looked in, didn't see much, tried to spin it to the outside, didn't get much there either.
You know what he did? He stayed in bounds.
Yes, he did.
Right.
Keep the line touch, says keep that clock rolling. As he's at the 32-yard line. Got about four or so on that. Maybe even five. It's third down and a dozen. Ravens at the Evangel 31-yard line. Benedictine leading with 11-11 to go in the game. 23-7. Right to the left side, Jacob Gaffney. You know he's going to catch one right here. Probably going to score Buteau in that slot left.
Calling your shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it. I don't know if Garrett sees it. I can see it. Kettle is going to take the snap. He's back. throws one over the middle. It's going to be low, and a diving catch is made.
And if he would have saw it,
yeah,
Jacob would have walked into the end zone.
He's 7 yards behind his defender at the 10.
Yeah.
You can see the matchup over there, man. I can feel that.
That time Garrett looked to the left but never looked down the field. Instead of checking from your deep receiver down, he just went to the shallow receiver and threw it first.
Is that the coached progression, deep to shallow?
Most of the time, yeah.
Fourth down for the Ravens. They will leave the offense out of the field. Fourth down, about 7. They got to get this thing down to the 19-yard line. Kettle's back, throws right, and it is going to be caught at the 15-10, at the 5, at the goal line. Touchdown, Ravens, as Benedictine goes in. Jayshon Ton has a pop out of his hands, but the Ravens are going to cover it up in the end zone, and Benedictine extends its lead. The question I've got, Gus, did Jayshon not score? And then did the Ravens, by virtue of picking up a fumbled ball in the end zone, score? Because I thought he had it once he crossed the goal line, and that meant it was done.
Yeah, I did too. I really thought he had, you know, broken the plane. Now the officials should probably talk about this because you can't advance a fumble unless it was recovered by the guy who fumbled it. See, that's the problem. And if you're Evangel, that's what you're asking, because if he fumbled the ball into the end zone, he has to recover it. If it's recovered by Gathright in the end zone, the ball comes back to the 1 yard line where it will be Benedictine football. Does that make sense?
And if he fumbled, he must have not been in the end zone.
Right.
Because you can't fumble once you're in the end zone.
Yeah, so if it's a fumble into the end zone, the ball will come back to the point at which he fumbled it because he didn't recover his own fumble, therefore, you know, moving the ball forward.
Well, they're talking on the near side to Coach Osborne, and I'm sure now we're going to send somebody over there to talk to Coach Chuck.
Yep, it's going back to the 1. There you go.
The ball was ruled. It was fumbled before the runner went in the end zone. By rule, the ball was not recovered by that runner. The ball is placed at the 1 yard line. It's first down.
Wow, I actually knew a rule.
Not bad. Yeah, not good. Now, the question becomes, we've asked this thing now 3, this is going to be the 4th time I've asked this question. Who does Coach Osborne want to score? Because they're going to punch it in on this down.
Yeah. And right now, Garrett's got 2.
Yeah.
Rayshon has 1.
Yep. This is our 4th opportunity to pick a TD scoring player. Wide to the left side, Buteau. Not going to be him. They're not going to throw it out there. You've got Rayshon in the backfield. You got Garrett under the center. You got motion to the right side, bringing a tight end over there. Kettle will take it. He'll carry it. He'll score it. Touchdown, Ravens! 3rd score of the game for Benedictine quarterback Garrett Kettle. And the Ravens extend their lead over Evangel now to 29-7 with 9:44 to play.
Garrett Kettle goes in on his 3rd rush of the ball game, and if you add all 3 touchdown runs together, he has the 1st down. Just 10 yards. So 8, a 1, and now another 1 yard run.
That's pretty effective kind of running, you know, when you can get that few yards and still get that many points. For Benedictine, the PAT is airborne, and it is good. And we've got a timeout of the field. Ravens, again, stretch their lead to 23. 9:44 to go in the ballgame. Benedictine 30, Evangel 7.
Why not start the new season with a visit to an old friend? Mueller's Locker Room, locally owned and operated. Mueller's is Atchison's original sports bar and grill, and has been the hot spot for good times since 1988. With a wide selection of great foods, plus great beer, wine, and spirits, you'll always win at Mueller's. In the dugout or on the deck, let Mueller's be your locker room. Mueller's Locker Room, at 120 South 2nd in Atchison, your sports bar for all seasons.
Start your day with Taco John's breakfast, scrambler breakfast burritos, spicy chorizo breakfast burritos, potato ole scrambler, Mexican donut bites, cold brew coffee, and more. And wake up Wednesday mornings for meat and potato burritos, just $1.99. All that at Taco John's in Atchison. Bigger, bolder, better.
is kickoff fielded around the 15-yard line, and the Evangel return just across the 25, call it the 27-yard line. It'll be Valor football, first and 10 at their own 27, because for Evangel, here's the problem. You're trailing by 23. That is a four-score. Well, it could be three touchdowns if you can score twos on everyone.
Didn't the famous speech start something like that?
Yeah, four scores.
All right, anyway.
Yeah. QB's back over the middle. Intercepted at the 45. That's Lamont Schomburger. He's at the 30. Lamont breaks a tackle. Gets to the 25 down the right side. 20. Schomburger at the 15. And grabbed by the shoulder pads by the big old lineman, Derek Johnson. And brought out of bounds at the 10.
Got a penalty over there on the 20.
We'll see what this is all about. It's completely across the field from where this play occurred. And we'll see what's going on here. Raven fans are cheering. The Raven team on the sideline is jubilant. They're having some fun now. Okay?
I don't think they realize that's a penalty marker.
Isn't that how it goes? Don't you see that happen all the time? Everybody's dancing and celebrating and mugging, and then it's like, hey, we got to go back out.
And the Evangel offense is walking off the field.
This is officiating crew. Well, I think they've done an okay job, and they had some battles today.
And thorough.
Yeah.
Prior to an interception, personal foul, roughing the passer, 73 of the defense. That's a 15-yard automatic first down.
I don't have a number 73 of the defense on my roster.
I don't have a 73 on defense or offense on mine. Let me look quickly over here. I've got a second set.
I don't have anybody on that one either.
Special team 72 to 75. Now there's
Okay, as long as we're all on the same page there.
Well, so the phantom player has really did the Ravens no good there, and now the quarterback is back. He is going to be bear hugged. He is going to be hurled to the ground. How about Tyler Wilson? So the Ravens say, we're going to give you the first down. Let me just give you about a 12-yard sack. Huh? That is his sixth sack of the year.
You know, I keep talking about Tyler Wilson. He's a player I really like playing that defensive end position. That time he was able to just scream off the edge, hit the quarterback for a big loss on the play.
Zach Gill will check out for Benedict Benes. The Ravens, I think, expect Evangel to start throwing the ball some more. Now looking at a second down and about 20 from their own 32-yard line. Deep drop, Wakely runs out of the pocket, running to the right, slips, and he just falls. I don't know. Is there like a gopher hole out there in the middle of that turf? Because he's just running it. He fell down.
You know, in film we used to call that a sniper, right? Somewhere, somebody got you. And no gain on the play. It'll bring up now third and 23.
Back now at their own 29-yard line. Zach Gill will check back in for Benedictine. Zach is a good, you know, multi-purpose kind of guy. He can give you some coverage if you need him to drop back. He can stop the run as he will step up in the middle. He's almost playing a middle linebacker right here. The quarterback is back to throw. He's being chased. He's in trouble. Breaks one tackle. Throws the ball late and just throws that thing out of bounds. Oh, what a catch on the near sideline by one of the Raven coaches. He's getting accolades from the team over here on the near sideline. Gus, the Benedictine team on the side feeling a little good now.
Yeah, you should probably feel good at this point, right? You've got R.J. Wakely running around. He looks confused. You've got Evangel down right now 30-7. They're going to smile and send them off to the Kansas Conference next season with another loss here today.
7:55 to play in the game, and that brings me to a topic that I would like to address after this punt, as Benedictine is going to be back. It's going to be Jayshon Todd for the return at his own 30. The snapback is low, but the kick is away, and the wind is going to drive it. Jayshon has got a fair catch and run out of bounds at the 26-yard line. So the Ravens are going to be 74 yards from the end zone, and they'll be with that football first and 10. And we talk about this frequently, probably should mention even more than we do, and I remember especially talking about this at some length in 2018, and we need to start talking about this now and making sure that Raven fans were coming to these games, were listening to the games on the radio. If you're out in the combine, of course it rains, so you're not doing that, but you're in the barn, you're in the garage, you're in the shop fixing the stuff that you've been going to fix. You got the game tuned in, you're driving to grandma's house or whatever you're doing, you're listening to these games. You got to enjoy this season. This is a magic season. fantastic season. Ravens about to go to 9-1 here today on their 10th game of the year. And the sideline is beginning to have some fun in this game today. And Raven fans, you're going to be talking about this season for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, because if you think back, you're what, 40 seconds away from being 10-0 right now?
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
oh, no.
And the one game that you lost, seriously, right? You hit the field goal with about 40 seconds or so up at Grandview, and then they were able to come down, hit the school record field goal to be able to win that game. Man, Dixon, this is kind of that magical ride. You got to just sit back, enjoy it, and understand what's happening here and take a moment to take it all in.
You betcha. Look around, soak it up, have some fun. Benedictine with a football, and they're going to have a little bit of fun as they are going to switch up a little bit of the lineup and get some of the guys out on the field here with 7 minutes now to play. Third down for the Ravens in 6 or 7.
Okay, so Evangel had a couple okay years, right, within the last 5, 6, 7 years, right?
Yeah, we had that.
Where they felt like they probably should have made the playoffs.
They had the big wind game.
Kept missing the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you go back to that game.
Yep.
Is that in 2001?
I think that's right.
Okay. I don't think they've made the playoffs since that point, right? And so, I mean, they're looking at a 20-some-year playoff drought. Like, none of these kids were even born the last time Emmanuel made the playoffs.
Quarterback Luke Laskowski flares a pass over into the left flat where it is going to be caught for the Ravens and carried over toward the far side. It will be, oh, short of the first down, leaving him looking at a fourth down, and back into the game will come Cullen Bruner. When I first started doing these games, 1979, our very first season, Ravens played at Evangel, and we traveled down and played at JFK Stadium, which was a dirt field at the time, okay? And there was a park just across the street, and the team chaplain who traveled along before the game had mass over in the park for the team, and that was kind of how it was done. And at that time, Evangel was kind of ahead of the game. Here's the kick is by Bruner, is going to be caught by the wind and take a nice Raven bounce inside the 45. But Evangel was ahead of the game. They had some boosters, some sponsors, who would buy airtime on some little tiny, small, private TV stations, and they would videotape. It was in the early days of videotape the games, and then replay them, maybe like at 2 a.m. in, you know, Mesa, Arizona or somewhere. And so they were getting, you know, wide coverage with videoed games, you know, back in the 70s. Time and technology has changed. First and 10. Evangel with the ball at the 43-yard line. Quarterback Roland slips, turns. Oh, he gets hit hard by Spangler. Wow.
That time he turned right into the shoulder pad of Gavin Spangler. And Wakely's thinking about that one. A loss of 7 on the play. That'll bring up a 2nd and 17 now for the Vowlers.
How many times did you see that? A running back, in this case a quarterback, making that one little extra effort to try to eke out that extra foot or two. And as you turn to lean forward, here's a guy coming at you. A big collision. 2nd down and long. QB will roll. He will throw. And he says, yeah, I'm getting rid of this. As again, two defenders were right on his heels.
Yeah, he turned around and realized that, you know, he was being chased down by Josh Morris and Isaac Anderson.
Now, he might be able to outrun Isaac, but he's not outrunning Josh.
Nobody outrunning Josh.
No.
Hey, look, there's the Southwestern bus pulling into camp.
Here we go. The Mound Builders are in the city. 4:55 to play.
That may not be the only time you say that this year.
No.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little more.
Oh, that's something to consider. Will that bus be making more trips to town? 3rd down. And about 16:17 to go. Setting up a screen pass. It's taken at the 35, up to the 40, and pushed out of bounds into the Benedictine sideline, well short of the first down. They're going to have him just shy of midfield, but that'll still make it an and 4 to go. So it is 4th down at midfield. And if you're Evangel, there's no reason on the planet to punt this football. Is there? Can you think of any?
Nope. Not unless you're trying to break a school record for most punts in a season or something, but now the Ravens are going to raise up and call a timeout. You want to just keep this?
We're going to hang on to it. By the way,
timeout.
Talking about the number of punts, 10
first time out of the
punts
half
already for Evangel today. Last week against Mid-America, 10 punts by Evangel. No wonder Ryan Connors, your conference player of the week, last week.
Okay, talk about that.
Yeah.
How many punts now?
That would be 73 punts.
How many has Benedictum punted today? Eight?
Eight.
So, 42.
Uh-huh.
42 punts for Colin Bruner, and for Ryan Connor, he's at 73.
He's at 73. It should be another one here, but they're just not going to.
Right. So, I mean, that kind of shows you. You love the punter, but you don't like to see him on the field kind of miss.
Ryan Connor had two already blocked coming into the game today, had another one blocked this afternoon, so he's had three blocked punts on the course of the season. And the Ravens are 4.5 minutes away from 9-1. 9-1, that's not a shabby little record, okay?
9-1 is good. Single digit in front of your name is good.
Yes, yes. Number six in the nation, and an opportunity maybe to step up. You never know what's going to happen here. And here they go. Evangel looking at a fourth down at the 54th and 3. Back to throw Wakely. Over the middle, it is caught, and it's going to be a first down. Great catch. Smart play. Picking up the first down with 1 yard to spare. Josh Morris with the tackle for the Ravens, but Evangel will keep its offense on the field. They go first and 10. Got a new guy in the backfield now. Gus for Evangel, sporting 24. And QB is going to be back to throw. Steps up, lobs one over the middle, and it is caught at the 25-yard line. Spangler was in coverage, never saw the ball coming. And the big tight end, Andrew Holden, just kind of reached around him and made the catch.
And the ball hit the back of Spangler's arm right as Holden reached around and was able to haul it in.
First down at the 25, and again, a timing pattern down the left side, and it's batted away, and is it picked off? It is! Intercepted by Jackson Hoskins. That is number 3 on the year. Don't throw it, Jackson.
Yeah, and you look around the field real quick to make sure there are no penalty markers. The last time that happened, there was. But Benedictine will seal this thing away. Nice job right there by Jackson Hoskins, a sophomore out of Overland Park, Kansas, by way of Blue Valley West. Going to get out the Ross.
Oh, yeah, here I am.
Because our boards are kind of useless at this point.
We got them broken out here. And for Benedictine, of course, your quarterback is someone with whom we are familiar, Luke Laskowski. Luke is a 6'3" junior from Baldwin City, Kansas. Receivers, two to the left, one to the right. Running back on his right side will take the handoff, and running straight ahead is going to be Damon Wiggin. He will pick up, maybe 3 or so up to the 8-yard line. And Evangel taking a timeout.
Timeout. That was going to be my question. Is are they going to use
first
him?
First time
are
they out of the half.
Take him back, or what are they going to do?
I would have thought you'd have just taken him on the bus with you, because I can't imagine what benefit they're going to be exactly. With 3.5 minutes to go in the ball game, we're going to keep it here, Joseph. It's a 30-7 Raven lead over the Valor. Valor are going to fall to 6-3, and their postseason hopes are dashed, if they ever had really any. And guys, let's be very candid here. I think we're late enough in the season with now 1 week to play after this game completes today in the regular season. This conference gets 2 teams. And I mean, I say this conference, the Heart of America Athletic Conference gets 2, because you're going to get the champion of the North and you're going to get the champion of the South. You're going to get only your 2 guaranteed spots, and that's it. There's nobody else going.
Yeah, that's it. Talking about the Kansas Conference, I think they get 2 as well. They're going to get the champion, who I think it looks like maybe Avila, and then you're going to get like Southwestern or somebody who's still way up there in the rankings. And KW strikes me as the odd man out maybe right there.
Ravens with the ball, 2nd down and 6 inside the 10-yard line. Luke will slide down, get the pass away. It's going to be caught for a first down, running it up the right side. Ravens moving the ball, and that is Tanner Zimmerman with a catch and carry.
Tanner is a guy who I'm sure is pretty familiar with the ODAC out of Olathe by way of Olathe West. We're going to be at the ODAC next Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock kickoff with the Pioneers.
Yes, we are. Benedictine's final regular season game against Mid-America next week. How did Mid-America do today? How were they doing? I know you were checking on those a little bit ago.
Remember, they beat Valley in a really high-scoring game, 48-42.
1st and 10 Ravens at their own 21-yard line. Laskowski will hand off, and just running straight ahead and into a mass of humanity. And there's going to be Damon Wiggin. Gain of a couple of yards, second down, 8 for the Ravens. Men are just burning the clock down at 2.5 minutes left. And DeVangelo is going to take another timeout. They're going to get it all. They're going to use them all here today.
That's the second time
I've another team that people are going to have to keep an eye on.
41
is Kaiser. Okay. They're going to be one of those teams, the Seahawks. They're going to get into the playoffs by virtue of being the champions of their conference. Next week, they're going to wrap up their season at, where are they next week? Weber. So that's a 1:30 game next week. They were off this week after beating Ave Maria 27-21 last week. So
there are a lot of good teams. Matter of fact, talking about one-loss teams, it goes all the way down to coming into the game today. Havilahood, number 17, is 8-1. Kaiser is 6-3 and number 14 in the country. You've got a lot of the familiar characters there. This, of course, is last Monday's ranking.
Yeah, you've got College of Idaho who fell. Bethel is 8-1 right now. So, again, see, there's the problem is you've got Southwestern and Bethel, but I believe Avila is going to win the tiebreakers of that conference. So,
second down, 8 for the Ravens, and little jet sweep starting to the right side and hit from behind and slowed down and ultimately brought to the ground. Benedictine running back. That's going to be Drake Chandler over there, little wide receiver out of Park Hill South High School.
Yeah, good to see the senior out there.
Senior day here at Wilcox Stadium. Nice ceremony prior to the ball game, introducing, you know, a lot of those guys as they come in, entering the field, and
you're not going to have a tip
of the helmet, huh?
We thought you were going to do really well on time. You're not going to have a whole lot of time.
No. The basketball game starts in an hour.
Yeah.
And we're not done here yet. So that's how that's shaking out.
Good thing you got those, you know, that quick speed out there.
Yeah, good thing we've done this before. Pass to the right side is going to be incomplete. And Benedictine doing nothing to speed up their clicking of this clock right now. The intended receiver over here on the right side for the Ravens. That was going to be Pete Kadena. Another Benedictine senior. Fourth down for the Ravens, and one more kick coming here for Cullen Bruner.
It's not even like the good days where you could tell them, hey, get dressed on the bus because here we go. You can't have all the equipment hooked up and walk in with it.
Bruner's punt, fair caught at the 50, and it juggles a little bit. The crowd kind of caught its breath for just a moment as Dylan Hester makes that catch. Minute 47 to go. Senior day here at Benedictine. It should be senior day everywhere for us old guys, you know? We should get some front row seating. We should get the early bird special, you know, on the lunch buffet. Front of the bus, quarterback draw play. He's hit and tackle for a loss.
That time coming up to make the stop for Benedictine. Jack Young, the D end out of Blue Valley Northwest.
Tell you what, we do get some of us seniors and some of you young guys. We get gear, man. We are geared up for the postseason. Second down at their own 47 for Evangel. Where are we at now? With a minute 19 left. Back to throw one more time. QB over the middle. It's going to be missed at the 50-yard line. That was what we would call really tight coverage because it was so quickly defended by Joel Mavis. I mean, that was one of those, was he there a little early? Was he not? It's kind of hard to say. At this juncture of the game, you just say play ball.
Isn't it kind of crazy? Or I say crazy. It's just a good feeling, if nothing else, right now. Here you are. You're going to come away with the win here. No matter what you do at Mid-America next week, you're in. Okay? Like, I get it if you lose to Mid-America, but if Angel wins, like, you could run into a three-way tiebreaker.
Uh-oh! Intercepted to the 45-40, left side 30, down the field, and bumped out of bounds. Oh, I thought he was going to get to take it back. And a little dance, a little bounce, and Joe Mavis in front of the Raven Regiment. That is his second interception this afternoon. He had one on the first possession of the game by Evangel, and now he has one on the last possession of the game by Evangel. Joe Mavis just seals the fate of the Valor.
Well, and maybe even to make it a little crazier, Joel had the interception on play one of the game for Evangel, and he's going to have it on their last offensive play of the day. So
a big day right there for Joel Mavis, a senior out of Katy, Texas.
And the Ravens will go to the diamond formation. Crusaders have a timeout left if they want to take it. We'll see what Chuck does, and that's going to do it. The final score this afternoon from Wilcox Stadium in Atchison, Kansas, it's Benedictine 30, Evangel 7. We'll be back to summarize it all for you right after this.
Farming, it's more than just a job. Farmers dedicate their lives every day to the land and the community that surrounds it. Exchange Bank recognizes and appreciates their hard work. We are dedicated to helping with your agricultural needs. We can assist you with loans to keep your farm operating and for expansion. Our team at Exchange Bank is here for the long haul. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Whether it's normal automotive maintenance like oil changes and wiper replacement or more serious repairs like starters and alternators, Atchison Auto Parts is your local stop for everything you need to keep your vehicle running at peak performance. They carry a line of diesel engine parts including turbos, injection pumps, and injectors for Duramax and Power Stroke engines. Now open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday and 9 to 6 on Sunday. Atchison Auto Parts, your independent NAPA dealer, 424 Woodlawn Avenue in Atchison.
Wilcox Stadium, the teams meeting at the center of the field, and the Benedictine Ravens move to 9-1 with this 30-7 win. Gus, Raven offense took a little bit of time getting some momentum built up, leading only at halftime 7-0. But you know, another big day. Rayshon Mills gets into the end zone. He now has 66 points off 9 rushing touchdowns and 1 receiving touchdown. He is the top non-kick scorer in the Hart South. Oh, by the way, the leading scorer in the Hart South is Harry Balke.
Right. Well, yeah, that's probably a given. You know, you take a look at Harry had 42 points off of just PATs coming into today's game. Add another 33 points worth of field goals. So, yeah, that's about right. Benedictine came in. It was a little slow in the early going, right? They didn't get any scoring done in the first quarter. At the 14-11 mark of the second quarter, Kettle went in for his first rushing touchdown. When the afternoon was over, Garrett went in on 3 rushing touchdowns. Rayshon carried one in from a yard out, and Harry Balke hit a 20-yard field goal. Early in the fourth quarter, Evangel would get their only points of the day, scoring on a 1-yard R.J. Wakely touchdown run, and the final today, 30-7, Benedictine. Looks like champions now of the South, and it'll be the first team to have won both divisions in football.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And, Gus, you know, you flash back to some of the teams, you know, in the last time they did this, and it's got you looking at, you know, some other records, some other marks. We've got one record thing to look at, and then we're going to get out of here to go to basketball because Jacob Gathright came in today with 1,003 yards, adds another 58 today, so he's at, what, 1,061? He is closing in on the Ravens single-season receiving record held by Aaron Jackson in 2018 of 1202. So,
well, you think about that. All right, you say Aaron Jackson had 1,200 receiving yards that year.
Uh-huh.
Aaron had 1,200 receiving yards. Charlie Neihardt had over 1,000 rushing yards, and Marquise had over 1,000 rushing yards. You had
uh-huh.
3 guys that accounted for 1,000 yards by themselves. And for the Ravens,
uh-huh.
the only guy they have that does that is going to be yeah, Jacob Gathright. I mean, nobody is close enough to get to it this season. I mean, Rayshon had 500 yards coming into today. Jayshon only 451 receiving yards. So that shows you how special some of those numbers are.
Hey, special win for the Ravens. And don't go away. Stick around. Jones is going to entertain you a little bit. As now it is time to head to the Nolan Gymnasium. Benedictine, men and women's basketball coming up next on Care Radio. Once again, the final score from here, Wilcox Stadium this afternoon. Benedictine Ravens 30, Evangel Valor 7. We'll see you down at the Nolan soon. For Gus Couts and for our man Joseph in the Care Studio, Tom Couts. So long, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Benedictine Raven Football on your local sports authority,
KAIR Radio 93.7 FM and streaming on msCnews.net. Benedictine Raven football games are brought to you by Hamada Wealth Management.
Here is your Hot Country 93.7 forecast. Lows around 41 tonight, under clear skies, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles.